Hey, what's poppin'? It's the Brew and Mike Show. And we're in the deal in the D, the deals in the D.com studios today. Hopefully everybody's back on track with power.
I'm back!
And things like that. When's your power come back, Brandon?
About a half an hour ago.
Wow, that was fortunate and timely.
I'm very, very excited. It's been trying times, I'll tell you.
Oh, I know.
You ever seen The Walking Dead?
Oh, I've seen it
many
times.
That's been my life, except the whole zombie thing. You know? No electricity. Everybody's dirty.
Well, and not only that, when no electricity, also, you were utterly resourceless.
No, if you were to see my home, you would know that I was not resourceless. In fact,
I've never been
I heroically helped
before,
save Marcus's family last night by providing them with heat.
So did everybody that didn't have power not go to work?
Well, you have to understand, Drew, if you lose power, especially during the COVID-19 crisis, a lot of people are working from home, and if they don't have power, they can't go to work.
Well, they would just get in their cars, or they would get a ride, or they'd call Uber or something, and they would Uber into work.
Okay, but I mean, I just feel like leaving a generator running with multiple things going on is irresponsible, especially when it runs out of fuel.
Leaving a generator running. Well,
but you didn't have the generator yesterday.
Is Maddie there by herself? Would you be leaving her home alone?
Randy would be here by himself.
Marcus couldn't watch him.
Wait, I'm intrigued by this now. So you could not Uber to work because the generator would be left running?
Okay, say I Ubered to work today.
Okay. Gotcha.
Right, as of right now, the gas, the power would be back on, so half of my house would be lit up. The other half would be dependent on the generator, which would be quickly running out of gasoline. And then you are expecting me to depend on other people by asking them to take care of my facilities. For example, if it runs out of gasoline,
do you feel like
it stops,
there's a lot of Dreamweaver bullshit going on here?
What if the circuit breaker trips and Marcus doesn't know how to fix it on
this
brand new...
Wait, you got half the house on. So, it seems like half the house is good enough to go to work. What is Kristen? Is she paralyzed now?
Well, let's start with this. How many people are at the house?
Just me.
Okay. You didn't have a generator yesterday, right?
I had a generator and then it broke.
No, I know, but you didn't use the generator yesterday. My point
being, until late last night.
Why does the generator have to run if you're not there?
Okay. So I have a sub pump and I have a basement that is prone to flooding. So you don't want to let that flood, otherwise there's damage done.
So in the 3 hours you were gone, it would have flooded?
That's where I was going, Drew.
3 hours?
If you Ubered in at 5 o'clock yesterday, left around 8:30 or 9 o'clock?
I don't think that you guys have ever had to deal with something like this yourself when it happens. I think you call other people.
I have a sump pump, and I've run out of my power scale before.
I've had lost power many, 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 many times.
Yeah.
But you don't have any issues with flooding in your basement.
I do. I had a major flood. I have a sump pump.
Well, wait, has it been...
And you know what? I made sure I didn't have that major flood. I was more responsible than you.
Wait, where's Kristen in all this? Is Kristen not... Is she... If you guys... Are you still together? Is there... Am I missing the main story here? Am I bearing the lead?
Yes, Kristen and I do remain much in love and married.
How?
And she is currently at her parents' house because there was no furnace for a while, and we have a little daughter, and...
Who's monitoring the sump pump
getting
now?
Getting very cold. Pardon me?
You're not monitoring the sump pump. Who's watching the sump pump?
Right now?
Yeah.
I have power.
No, but let's say you didn't have power. You would be monitoring the sump pump? And you would choose the sump pump?
Yeah, what would you do if it started flooding? Would you then start getting buckets and bailing the basement out?
The first time it happened, from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., I had a 5-gallon buckets for hours straight up and down the stairs dumping out water. That's what I had to do.
All right.
There's so many people in Southeast Detroit that have felt my pain over the last couple of days. And unfortunately, some people still do not have power. And I feel for those people because these are trying times. I'm telling you.
Drew, I'm making
a Facebook poll.
I was going to say, we need to throw it out to the audience. except they don't really have all the information they need.
It doesn't matter.
And
Brandon's straining to do some explaining.
somehow Comcast is dependent on the neighborhood power because I hooked everything up to the generator.
Just
and
ask
I still
if losing
Wi-Fi.
Power.
Okay.
Should Brandon go to work when he doesn't have power?
No. Oh, okay.
That's I don't know how more simply to. Well, what kind of text? How would you like to word it?
So are we'll I don't know. Are you
in
do 20
and 15
a good
words
idea
or less
to leave a running generator? You know, just leave it there. You don't know if it's going to run out of gas at a certain amount of. You know.
But does the generator have to be running? That's the question.
Yes, because of a flooded basement. My sub pump turns on every 7 minutes, like on the dot.
Why is your
is it rain in the forecast?
Is your house built on a bunch of sand?
I don't know. I honestly could not tell you. I'm on top of a hill, so I thought it would never happen. Unfortunately,
can you
if you don't believe me, you can call my neighbor Marcus and he will back up every single word I'm saying.
He just couldn't put a gallon of gas in halfway an hour in or something?
I don't understand how we're 5 minutes into the show. I'm just being relentlessly bullied. I've done everything I can to get here on time today.
No, you haven't gone anywhere.
Well, I can't drive because legally I've had issues with my brain, and you guys are just bullying.
No, you could easily Uber. I mean, that's not. Let's not pretend that Uber doesn't exist.
Well,
it's
no,
not
I
2005.
Could Uber, but then
could
I would
you
be
Uber
leaving.
Yesterday? Could you Uber yesterday?
My generator running, and then additionally, when the power comes back,
let's
there's
back
nobody
to
here
back
to reconnect everything.
Wait, why can't Marcus dump a gallon of gas in like 2 hours after you leave, or an hour and a half after you leave?
Well, because once again, now you're making me dependent on somebody else.
Well,
secondly,
you never can allow. Don't you do favors for Marcus?
And secondly, this generator
is
prone to tripping
on you?
The circuit breaker, and it's not a very easy thing because once it trips, you can't just plug everything back in and fire it back up. You have to unplug everything and go in one at a time.
No, we know a lot.
Let's be responsible generator users here.
There's literally no one that you could contact who could, in this emergency situation, put a gallon of gas in there, or maybe Kristen or Kristen's dad or your dad could
just
pop over.
Yeah, your dad was there. Your dad was there yesterday.
I appreciate you guys considering my absence in an emergency situation. That makes me feel great.
Yeah, it shows how important you are to the show.
Thank you. My father did help me out last night, yeah. So I guess I could have just begged a bunch of people, hey, help me out, and then called an
No,
Uber
you need one person. Just one person. I don't even think you need one person, really. I think you could just let it run out of gas. I don't think you're going to flood today.
Okay.
Or yesterday. Right. Did it rain a lot more than I know? I mean, I remember it did rain hard one night. Was that 6-7 days ago?
Well, that's the thing. It won't rain, and my sub pump still continues to run. Some people, you know, they live on marshy land, or they live near a pond like I do, and perhaps it's something that with the pipes that run underneath my house. There's
always a pool full of water waiting to come in your house that the sump pump is averting.
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
I mean,
I guess the only way out of this is to apologize for my absence yesterday, beg your forgiveness, promise you that it'll never happen again, and maybe purchase an $8,000 Generac. Hey, maybe Ursi can hook me up with that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Why worry about it flooding when you could have used Ursi or, you know, probably at a pretty reduced
cost?
Yeah, we might as well
do that. Why don't we just do that? Because
it's society's fault because
it's
bullies,
so
man.
Incredibly timely right now.
Bullies.
Bullies? I expect someone to show up for work.
You freaking bully, you coward!
Skip work every
Why are you guys bullying me?
Water's everywhere in your home. Or
I have
be.
A heart and I have feelings. I feel that.
You can't
do that to me. It's not nice.
If you're not babysitting the generator.
You can't ever leave your home because water might come in.
And wait, real quick, before you continue with Ursi, just remember that every insult that you're throwing my way is also an insult to the other 250,000 Southeastern Michiganders who are without power.
They
this
all
week.
Stayed home?
I want to hear from people that lost power. I'm just curious. Were you able to work? If you were not able to work, I'd love to hear from you. If this is a totally unreasonable conversation, I would definitely like to hear from people. Because usually people
the only
do spout
people that
off
are allowed to
stuff.
Submit are ones that aren't allowed to drive either. Because it really, really,
no, no, no,
it really sets
no,
you
no,
back
no,
when
no,
you can't
no,
drive.
No,
when
no,
you don't
no,
have
no,
a car.
No,
because you have brain injuries and stuff like that.
Uber. Don't use your disability in this argument.
There's also Lyft. Yeah, this is
there's also Lyft.
The disability angle.
That's a cheap
nice
shot.
To see you again, Mr. Insult.
I mean, think of a war veteran who's lost two legs or
I know, and
serious heart
and they didn't even have Uber back in World War II.
Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder would find a way to get here.
Really amazing things.
Hey, I'm telling you, there's definitely trust me, I know what it's like to grow and live in the colonial times. I'm telling you, I had candles burning and shit like that. Yes, I had to rely on this little 3.5-pound dog.
But so did warmth. Nobody is more disappointed to lose power than I am. I can't even watch.
I missed an interview with Greg Landry this morning.
It's just really funny, though, because now I feel like you're acting like you're not one of the 250,000 people that lost power, and you're the only one because you're living in pioneer times. How did they survive?
Marcus has my back. Email him.
Yeah, unless he needs to put gasoline in your generator.
He doesn't have your back at all. He's next door, and he can't even come look and see the generator's running. He can hear it. He can open the window.
Actually, he's got heaters running in his house, if it goes out, he'll know.
Don't generators take 5 gallons of gas? They don't get generators have to be refilled more than every 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah. Well, unless, I don't know how much of your house. Are you running more than just your sump pump?
I'm running 2 homes. I'm telling you, I'm helping this neighborhood out right now. They call me State Farm around here because I'm...
What's the second home?
Like a good neighbor. Marcus's home.
Why are you running his home? Wait, he can't come over. He can't open the window to hear if your generator's running, but you're running his home.
He's using your generator, but he won't help monitor it.
We're 3 minutes into this, Ursi Reed. But you got to understand, this is a brand new generator.
Are there a lot of generator monitors out there? Does it take any skill to be a generator moderator? Or, moderator. Moderator?
What kind of generator do you have? Just curious.
Generator observer?
I just bought a Ryobi. I had a Briggs & Stratton yesterday, but the piece of shit broke into 4 pieces. I'm telling you, I only had this thing. I've only used it twice, and it broke.
Ryobi, what, 2,300, 3,600 watts?
Like, Marcus sounds like such a user, doesn't he?
I just want to see how many gallons his generator holds.
Oh, yeah, please do. Let me finish the read.
I think this one's
I'm just disappointed to hear Marcus is such a user.
Seems
like such a nice fella.
60,000? How big?
No, 6-gallon tank, if that's what you're asking.
Water could be everywhere in your home if you're not guarding at all times. It could be a leaky sink. It could be a washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. Plus, so many people have neighbors like Marcus who won't even listen for the sound of a generator to help you out. Keep an eye out for water in your home, not just floods. This could be the pool of water that's waiting to come in at all times unless you're there. Water's the enemy. Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. That's 877-JOB-DONE. Put Emergency Response Services Incorporated on your fridge today. They weren't even scheduled. I just snuck that one in because it's just utterly so timely.
The Ryobi generator that you have, the 6-gallon fuel tank, can run for
6?
Can run for 9 hours.
What?
It depends. That's you and I know if you're skilled.
I'm just 50% load, so unless you're just running
50%
your
load.
What else are you running on?
They got huge loads. You don't know nothing about
the person
loads.
In the second house could certainly provide at least a representative.
What else
to open the window?
What else?
And I have no idea what Marcus is powering. I just give him a cord and I say, Marcus, go crazy. Take care of your family.
Why doesn't he say, you know what? I'm going to open my window. Go crazy. Go to work.
Because it's difficult because then it also involves him coming into the house and having to move wires in case something happens, like the power comes back or if the breaker trips, which has already happened twice. The breaker drips.
You
guys are
room.
Deflecting all of the blame of DTE here, by the way. I haven't heard you guys mention their name one time.
Mark, put
I appreciate
in the
all the crews in the field.
Marcus. But should we have Marcus's number?
What's that, Marcus's Brandon? Say that again, Brandon.
Oh, he's actually hosing. He's stealing Rashida Tlaib's tweet that he ragged on earlier. The DT doesn't spend money on infrastructure, so that this doesn't happen.
Like, we don't know that. Hey, Brandon, will you send me Marcus's phone number?
I guess he's gonna have my back. I bet.
I want to lay it out for him. I want to find out if he's a user.
One last.
I don't
question.
Believe he is.
One last question: what all in your house were you running off your generator?
So I had to run
on low
sump pump, furnace.
I just want to hear this answer. Sump
I
just pump.
Like carrying them on low levels.
Refrigerators.
Couple different refrigerators. Why?
Well, when you have the meats
volume,
that
please.
I have.
Wait a sec. Have you not gone outside? I know you've been inside for like 9 months. Have you gone outside lately? I mean, it's basically a refrigerator outside and a freezer. You could put it in a cooler and put stuff outside on your deck.
Okay, Mark, I guess I should have just emptied out all of my meats onto the porch. I apologize for that.
Put Brandon in the probation booth. I don't want to hear him that loud, if I hear him at all. I mean, he can be on tiny little volume if you have to ask him something. That's fine right there.
You guys lowered my microphone?
Yes.
Send me Marcus's phone number, please.
I already sent it to you. I texted it to you.
As we step into the fall, the team at Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event, and as you can imagine, it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered. Because of all those fine people like the Zod family and Jeff Schneider, who maybe you saw Ryan Ermani interviewing him as he got his haircut on Sunday at Lady Jane's. Starting with a new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month? If you need a truck, go lease a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. If it's pure performance, port in a new SUV that drives like a sports car, go lease the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at $343 a month. And you know the game. No Zot spot is complete. Without talking about the Jeep Wrangler that so many can't get you or can't get you the specs you want, you can get the perfect specs, exactly the specs you want for your Wrangler from Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Be sure to mention the fine folks at the Drew and Mike Show, which hopefully you also do that when you go to Dr. Yaldo, because Dr. Yaldo will give you $1,500 off the regular price. Call 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell me about the Drew and Mike discount. And if you live near Rochester, they've got the third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. And they are doing they're doing everything they did before. They took time off. They got it straight. They got the COVID business taken care of. And now they are doing custom topography guided LASIK, just like they always did. The most precise in the world. Have you seen better than you could with glasses without them? And multifocal lens replacement for those over 45. You'll be seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. And you can stop spending money on all these expensive glasses and frames and prescription sunglasses and contacts and blah, blah, blah. 800-398-EYES or YaldoEyeCenter.com. And remember, $1,500 off. And if you're near Rochester, they've got the third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. And the Hall Financial Hotline is opening up.
And he's on there.
With Marcus, Brandon's next-door neighbor in Rochester. He's just a hop, skip, and a jump from Dr. Yelda's office as well. Hey, Marcus, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Is there anything else for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
There might be. There's the 96-year-old that was dead and voted.
Oh, yeah.
That whole story.
I saw that whole piece on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
He went through, I think, about 12 or 13 people who were dead and voted.
Yeah.
And then they scrolled the screen with more. And this is one of the names that he threw out there. And he I think, described her life and so on and so forth. It turns out she's very much alive. And there was someone else, by the way, that was not the dead person. It was someone else.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's got to be pretty. I wonder if she was watching the show when that happened.
There's also a couple that was having sex on the roadside in Florida, and a lot of people saw him. And he's listed, so that'll be fun.
Really? Did they get arrested or anything?
Yeah.
Hmm. Charged?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is she what?
Lewd and you know what? She's not bad. She's 39 and he's 30. I thought she could do better, but I think, you know.
Really? And she's 9 years older and she could do better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Hall Financial wants you to know that they've got, of course, free appraisals for all of November. If your current mortgage is above 3%, they used to say 4%. Now they say 3%. What are you waiting for? You could be saving money on a refi. Rates are in the twos. Appraisal is free. So call Hall Financial today so you can get started on saving money or go to the new landing page, DrewAndMikeHF.com, to get started. That's DrewAndMikeHF.com. Do you have to capitalize the HF like they do in the
No, not at all.
That, I never can get that straight. You can also go to DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewAndMike. The majority of loans at Hall Financial are closing in 10 business days or less. So go to our website, click on the Hall Financial link to get started. Hall Financial, lower payments, better option, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435. Is that Marcus?
Yeah.
Hi. Go on. I'm coming. Close the door.
Marcus, how you doing?
Professional Marcus.
Oh, man. I'm just not getting over this blackout or whatever this day was. I'm
yeah, that's racist.
Cords and
don't call it a blackout. That's racist.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Yeah, we'd have to cancel Marcus.
Everything around here was black, that's for sure.
So, Marcus, is everything back? Your power's okay? Or are you operating thanks to the luxury of Brandon's generator?
Well, I use Brandon's generator this time, even though we had to go get a new one because the first one.
Because that's what best friends do.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's what we do.
That's really nice. And you and Brandon have always had that kind of relationship. I got your back, you got my back.
Yeah, when I first met Brandon, he had just moved in. And we had a blackout. And so I had my generator going, and I plugged up his house to my generator. And that's how we
Because that's what best friends do.
Wow, that's really cool. And then this time was something the matter with your generator, so you used his?
No. My generator just needs to be serviced. That's all. I just got to get it out and get it up to a shop and let them service it. Same thing with my Harley. It needs to be serviced also.
Well, that leads to another important question. So would your generator, in a pinch, could you have used it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. With mine right now is that mine is so big, and it's my tires are flat on it. I got to get new tires. It's hard to move. You know, with Brendan's, it's a lot smaller, so two of us can move his around.
Wow, that's tires on a generator. I've had a couple generators that did not have tires, but that would have been nice.
Duty.
But
no,
I never thought of
tires with inner tubes.
I never thought of getting a flat on my generator.
No, that's really weird.
Two flats.
What is it? Did somebody put nails in your driveway?
No. It just from sitting over time, you know.
Yeah.
I should have had it elevated so it wouldn't even been on the tires. You know, kind of like flat spots.
How do you change those tires so fast?
Well, I got to tell you something that kind of threw me. We were talking to Brandon about the show today, and of course, with no power, there's no Brandon. I mean, it's like he is dead.
Yeah.
Oh man, he was having a fit. was having a fit.
It's terrible because there's no power, so he can't Zoom, and he.
I was going to try and bring him to the studio, but then again. With generators going and stuff, it's kind of hard to, you know, your house is wide open. You really just don't want to leave it for very long.
Well, but then again, I think Marcus is getting some text messages.
I think so, too.
Marcus is doing what?
Marcus, so if Brandon, okay, so you're on Brandon's, I got to get it out fast because he's probably getting if indeed that was the situation.
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend.
And Brandon Ubered into the show, then you could monitor his generator.
Yeah,
you right? Because you got his back.
Well, the only thing about that is, like I say, you know, if it came back on, you know, hooking up all his stuff and different things like that.
Wait,
you know,
the power
like right now, I'm sure that's what he's doing now over there. Cause that's what I'm doing. I'm getting all my stuff hooked back up.
Yeah.
Wait, so if the power came back on, then there would be a problem? What would the problem be?
Well, it would just be like half your stuff wouldn't be running, you know.
Right, but he'd be back from the show, from the Uber, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, so no biggie, right? No biggie?
Oh, I don't know about that. Like I said, it's kind of hard just leaving your house wide open like that.
Would you have to leave it unlocked when it's unpowered?
Well, you definitely got to have that garage door open, otherwise, you know, you get the fumes and different things. You know, so... I don't know. It's just kind of hard. Like I say, I wasn't going nowhere.
Marcus, when you were working, you know, Chicken Master, when you were doing that, did you ever lose power?
All the time.
Did you ever go to work?
No.
Okay.
The reason why I could see my kid. You know, I'm not going to just leave my kid in cold, no lights.
I got gotcha.
Stuff like that.
Okay, if you didn't have a kid, would you go to work?
Oh, if I didn't have a kid, yeah.
Okay. Or if Kristen would have taken your kids, like, somewhere else.
I'm sorry, I didn't. My son is out here making a bunch of noise.
That's all right. That's all right. I was just saying, if Kristen were to take your kids somewhere, you would have gone to work, right?
Well, she left because of the code, but who's going to maintain all the stuff, you know? Okay. I told him I would take him up there. I would try to watch it, you know, but, I mean, that's putting a lot on somebody to ask somebody to watch your stuff, you know.
It is, and I guess it sounds like Kristen's a lot more feeble than I thought because I mean, she's an incredibly successful person, yet she can't seem to watch a generator.
Now, I mean, Brandon was really concerned about his sump pump, too. Like, the generator had to be there for the sump pump. I mean, it's not possible to not... The sump pump is going to run...
No, count on a flood. Count on it.
It's going to be a flood if it doesn't run for hours.
I've lost the basement to this stupid sump pump.
Because you left without power for 5 minutes?
No. We very rarely lose power for one day. It's usually 2 days or more. Okay. You know, whenever we lose power, it's out.
That's a lot of time to miss at work.
Back on this quick.
Man.
Did you have to save days up?
No. I had been working there so long to where they knew if I wasn't coming to work, it was an emergency.
It
so
was serious.
I wasn't one to mess around and skip work and stuff like that. You know,
Marcus kept his job
and everything else, you know. So if I didn't come to work, you know, you knew it had to be something important.
No, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong.
So going to work, if the power comes on, if the power just possibly could come on while you're at work, going to work is out of the question.
Well, that's a big possibility. What if it doesn't?
Well, if it doesn't, then it's also out of the question.
Now
it seems like it's just out of the question.
Well, like I say, you know, you got a young house and young household, and you know, I'm not a big fan of just leaving my house wide open without keeping an eye on it.
What about
even when Brandon, because he had to go buy a new generator?
Yeah,
you know, so I sat outside and watched this house, you know.
What about just turning the generator off and going to work?
Well, no, because then the
flood.
Yeah,
she'll be flooded.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I lost the basement.
Oh,
whole basement, furniture, everything.
Okay,
because that sump pump overflooded.
This is just a what if, and I know it's probably
one of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
It's probably insane to even suggest this, but what if he turned off the generator and you went over and just babysat the sump pump, or just went over and checked on it once every couple hours?
Well, I could see that.
Oh, you'd be willing to do that?
But you wouldn't be able to turn off the generator. You have to have that generator going, you know. I mean,
it doesn't have an off switch? Wait, can't you just turn it off?
I think, Marcus, he means if there was no generator, like yesterday, you would have babysit the sump pump and bailed out buckets?
No. Okay. If he didn't have a generator, I would have... Me and three or four guys would drag mine out.
Wow, that's great. So, because
that's what best friends do.
He does have people have his back.
No. We're just going to get the stuff plugged up by hook or by crook.
So if he, let's just say this. Let's say he had the generator set up and it's just powering the sump pump. Could he have gone to work?
If the generator was just
took up to the sump pump. And then the power comes back on, but the generator is still supplying power to
the sump. 9 hours of generator time.
Yeah, 9 hours with the generator time.
I imagine that's possible.
Oh.
Yeah, that's possible.
Well, your food, and for your food, you would put it in coolers and put it outside because it's like 40 degrees outside.
Put it in Marcus's fridge.
Which is the temperature of a refrigerator.
Man, I had freezers. I got deep freezers in the basement. I had to plug up to the generator, the sub pump.
Yeah.
I got two refrigerators upstairs.
Yeah.
You know, I had to plug up.
Yeah, but you don't work. You're retired.
Yeah, but I still went to Costco and filled up with meat and stuff.
I had no idea losing power.
I could not afford to lose.
As many times as I've lost power, I had no idea how complex it is. And I mean, it's unbelievable. Marcus, I got to tell you, you are a good friend. Just from your testimony here today, it's obvious that you are a very good friend to Brandon.
I like him. He's a good young guy.
He's a great guy. That's why we want him in at work.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I can bring him. You need him now?
No, because you got your power back, so he finally connected.
Yeah, he's okay.
I can bring him now. He don't need a Uber. I'd take him back.
Hell yeah.
I got no problem with that.
No, I know. A ride's easy. That's not even part of the equation. It's all those other things that are so complicated. But I do thank you for your less than candid appraisal of the situation and somewhat stilted in Brandon's direction. But that's what friends do.
To sum it up, quiet boy. To sum it up, I wouldn't have went to work either, Drew.
Okay, that's the bottom line.
I'm not going to leave my household just naked. I wouldn't have went to work either. I'm sure anybody could understand, especially if I'm not one to just miss work.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting an email from people on if they is anyone ever gone to work without power. I'm really curious to find out.
We know about 250,000 people didn't go to work today, at least.
Well, you know what? A lot of people don't have sump pumps and
true.
Things like that.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you have a sump pump?
I do.
Okay. I've never seen so many odds stacked against one person's going to work. It's amazing.
Believe me, it bothered him. Last 2 days, it just I need to work. I said, well, Brandon, you got to take care of your family, too. So,
that's true.
You know, if you want to go, I'll
by shipping them away.
Family first.
You know,
Marcus, thank you so much, as always.
Right, anytime, guys.
Great talking
Thanks,
to you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Have a good show.
Because that's what best friends do.
There's Marcus. As available as he is, it's still not possible.
He's the best neighbor, man.
I'm really curious to hear email on this topic because now there's a part of me that feels like I'm out of my mind. I'm losing my mind. It's an okay boomer thing. It's a million things I'm wrong about here. But then there's that part of me that says, no, you're absolutely fucking right. What, why are we even talking about this? But I want to hear people. We have our Twitter poll up.
Yeah, I'm just surprised how bad the sump pump situation is in Rochester. I mean, I have a sump pump, but it doesn't run nonstop. So far, 81%. Hey, quiet. Yes, you're in the isolation booth. What's your punishment? I'll let you out for like 5 seconds. Let's see. Go.
I have things to say. Number one, we didn't talk any DTE here, which is a travesty. Number two, I wish I had a workplace in which I could take personal days off because it's clear that I can't do that.
You just took a personal day off.
Yeah, I know. But then I got, we're half an hour into the show, and this whole thing has just been, let's make fun of Brandon for missing one.
No. We're examining. No, we're concerned. I want to hear all sides. And now, I mean, I feel like a real jerk now. I feel like I'm so insensitive and I'm so stuck in my work mode that all these things, I mean, a million things didn't even dawn on me.
I think you need a personal day.
I think I might need a personal day after hearing all this because I'm overwhelmed.
Do you want to hear some Twitter replies?
Yeah, I would.
So, should Brandon go to work when he loses power? 81% say yes.
Really?
Are
these people uninformed?
I don't know. Ryan says he might create a problem for HR when he demands Trudy brings him dinner in the middle of the show. Ryan says, go to work because you lost power. Dan says it's a very loaded question. Otis says, when my power goes out, I cannot skip work, nor would I expect my employees to even use that excuse. It's so lame. Get back in the studio, Brandon. You have an important job, and we miss your take.
A Gen Xer would have no problem making it happen.
Well, I mean, sure, and talking about how they
that goes without saying. Or Brandon, how can he work without a computer to zoom into? Why stay where there is no power?
It seems like it'd be good to go to work because then you could enjoy the heated air.
Jenny said, I still have to go in. So that's where it stands right now.
I guess Jenny's coming home to a flood. I mean, what kind of a workplace makes you accept a flood at your house? That's a lot. It's hard to make enough money in one day to cover all the things a flood chews up. Marcus lost a basement.
Yeah.
I love that. We need that drop. Yeah. I lost a basement.
I lost a basement.
It's like it was literally severed from his house.
It feels that way, though, man, when your basement
floods. It's horrible. Damn. Wow. Well, it's definitely our lead story today, although I was so excited to come down here and be informed that there is the ABNN.
This here is breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. And shit.
Booming.
About a month ago, he ended up in a police report.
A month ago?
A month ago.
Wait a second. And nobody knew this?
October 15th, he lives in the Hollywood Oaks private community. This is outside Miami. This is from the Miami Herald. He got really mad at this guard at the security gate of his gated community.
This is so out of character already.
Do you want to guess why maybe he got mad at the guy at the security gate?
Would he let someone in or he wouldn't let someone in?
He would not let someone in unless AB was physically at the gate to grant access.
Oh, really?
He had to be at the gate. So Antonio
Brown. Is that a policy or is this somebody that's undesirable?
I don't know. I think it's just it must just be the policy if you don't give the information ahead of time. I'm guessing.
See. Okay. So wait, this is Tom Brady's house.
No, because it's October 15th. I don't think he had signed yet. Had he signed yet?
Boy, he's already played in two games.
It said Hollywood Oaks private community. I don't know where that's at exactly. But the Miami Herald had it, so I assumed it was still in Miami.
I was just marveling that Tom Brady managed to get along with this security group for all this time, and Derek Jeter.
So Antonio Brown, according to the police report, got on his bicycle and sped to the gate and went nuts on the guard.
What?
And then took out his aggression on the security cam. Brown started cussing out the female security guard, which we know he has no problem yelling at a female, saying, why are you wasting my fucking time? You need to let my guests through the fucking gate. I'm Antonio Brown. Brown allegedly threw his bicycle at the guard gate.
Oh, my.
And then yelled at the property manager who was
there. What kind of bike do you have?
Calling her a, quote, well, you want to guess what he called the white property manager?
The N-word.
The racist bitch.
racist bit.
Yeah. So
boy, he loves calling people racists. So and calling people the N-word.
It was in Hollywood, Florida, because Hollywood Police Department showed up, where an officer says a blue bike was at the guard shack when they arrived, jammed between the arm of the gate and the motor. So they reviewed the security footage, and it showed Antonio Brown smashing the security camera and throwing the bike. Okay.
Where's the video? Where is it?
We need to see it immediately.
I'm already angry because I'm reading the ESPN story when you started talking. I just Googled it, and it seems to me, are people not trying to cover for him a little bit here?
Well, so
why would anyone cover for this guy?
He was not arrested or charged.
Which is bullshit.
Well, do you want to know why? Because they didn't want to press charges out of fear that he might retaliate against the employees of the Homeowners Association. So the homeowners president, she basically said, the one who's a racist bitch basically said, I don't want to deal with this guy. He's such a pain in the ass. Let's not press charges. Let's just let him do whatever he wants.
Did they give her name? We should call her.
I'll tell her we have her back. I'll
find her. Marcus. Marcus will have her back, too.
But she does mention that AB has since paid to replace the security.
I don't care. Which is unusual, by the way. Usually he does not.
She told the Miami Herald that Antonio simply just had an emotional reaction that day and then praised him as a hero for helping the Buccaneers beat the Panthers this weekend.
Get the fuck out of here.
I think she's still scared of them.
Yes, I would agree.
Can you believe that?
This is such crap. I don't even know why a spokesperson would deliver such crap. Alana Burstyn, yeah. Spokeswoman for Brown. Whoa, wait, she pisses him off. Told the newspaper any issues between the Homeowner Association and Brown have been fully and amicably resolved, and everyone is getting along just fine. I'm not sure.
I guarantee you she was doing it like this. Everyone's getting along just fine. She's looking over her shoulder and around so she doesn't get attacked by a flying bicycle or flying furniture.
Listen to the last line. I'm not sure who's trying to promote this narrative. Who would suggest otherwise?
Narrative, it's a police report.
Antonio regrets that he lost his cool, and has made amends with the Hollywood Oaks Homeowners Association. However, he is rightly concerned that he is routinely targeted by some people for mistreatment and undue scrutiny. No, he's not. He is absolutely not. That is such BS. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Because he is Antonio Brown, he gets mulligan after mulligan after mulligan after mulligan after mulligan.
Mm-hmm. You know who I feel really bad for in this situation?
Who?
The guest.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're sitting there in this really awkward situation. That's kind of not real. Not
but
your,
they are AB's guests, so not, they kind of know him.
It's not your fault. You just showed up, and then you know after they went to AB's house, he had to hear it or she had to hear it for probably an hour as he ranted and raved.
Awkward.
Now, I personally cannot believe a couple things. One, it took a month to find this out.
Yeah.
That all these people are already covering for him. I'm guessing the Bucks will say, it's water over the bridge. It's all been handled.
Oh, it's been handled. He wasn't charged.
There's no zero tolerance affected here. Yeah. Although I don't even think, did the Buccaneers say we have a zero tolerance policy with him? I don't think they even said that.
Here's a number for the Hollywood Oaks Homeowners Association.
Okay.
I'm guessing they're going to be closed.
He's rightly concerned that he's routinely targeted by some people for mistreatment and undue scrutiny because he's Antonio Brown. He just wants to be a good neighbor, good citizen, and a good teammate. Yeah, he's all those things. Hello, who's this?
Wayne Westgate.
Hi, Wayne. This is Drew Lane, and I'm calling. I was trying to find out. Apparently, there was an incident where the Homeowners Association, I guess, did they get a little overly aggressive with Antonio Brown and upset him?
Sir, I wasn't here, so I have no idea.
I see.
I couldn't see.
But clearly,
the supervisor will be here tomorrow.
Okay.
She'll be able to answer it.
But the bottom line is, Antonio Brown, he's done nothing wrong, correct?
Sir, I can't talk on that. I was not here.
But you've heard about the story because you're part of this association, so you've heard more about it than anybody.
I'm not part of the association. I'm just a security employed by the association.
But security, you would know even more then because you know the people at the gate.
Is the camera working?
I guess they were overly aggressive. They got obnoxious. They targeted him.
What kind of bike do you have?
Is the camera working?
Yes, the camera is up and working. Okay. It was replaced by Mr. Brown.
Have you seen the footage?
No, sir. Oh, well, that's only for the supervisor and the property manager.
Yeah, we're all going to need to see that, because if your security people did anything wrong, I want to see why Mr. Antonio Brown was targeted once again by people when he's just trying to be a nice neighbor.
Okay, sir. Thanks for calling.
Sound good?
Did you guys get the bicycle out from between the gate and the motor?
I saw the bicycle inside the security.
Oh, it's still there?
No, it was here when I came to work.
Oh.
I see.
Did you take it for a spin?
Pardon?
Why don't you hang on to that? It might be worth something.
No, I can't.
Is the gate working now?
Yes,
after
sir.
They forced
somebody's
Mr. Brown?
The gate right now. I have to do my job.
Okay.
Someone's there?
Supervisor tomorrow.
I just want to make sure the gate was working, because you guys made him throw his bicycle at the gate and understood it wasn't working.
I didn't make him do that. I wasn't here.
Well, no, but
someone did.
Your people working with you obviously upset him, and that's terrible.
I'm a great night, sir. I can't speak on that.
No, okay. I appreciate you being cooperative.
Most people think of Los Angeles when they hear Hollywood.
Access
denied.
Well,
the girls in Hollywood, Florida, they are just
as if he doesn't. As if he doesn't know what happened.
He has seen the video. Come on.
20 times.
And I guarantee you he laughed his balls off at it.
Well, thanks to the landmass security, I'm going home.
All the girls who live in Hollywood, Florida are so darn smoking hot. They hang out on the beach all day. Hey, hey. I want to help one of them put their suntan lotion on. Any girls need some help with their suntan lotion, let me know. The girls in Hollywood, Florida are pretty.
Is this just a generic song about Hollywood, Florida?
What a creep.
Yeah, I'm digging it, man. It's good.
So
how long is it?
Pretty.
136.
Better than those Los Angeles girls in that big city in California. I like Hollywood girls in Florida. I like Hollywood girls in Florida.
Boys like me, Steely Dan, he just feels the music. And the words just follow.
They like my song. I want to help them put their suntan lotion on. Hollywood girls, Hollywood, Florida. Yeah.
Nice. Hollywood, Florida police decided they had probable cause to charge Brown with a criminal mischief and misdemeanor. But the president of the Hollywood Oaks Homeowners Association declined to press charges, according to the report. The president, can we look up Sylvia Berman?
I did. It's, I can't really find a number for her.
She told police that she feared Brown may retaliate against her employees. Berman told the Herald, "We're not afraid of Brown." Well, then why are you afraid he's going to retaliate?
Yeah, you are. She's totally afraid of her.
But instead, the Hollywood Oaks board decided the incident wasn't serious enough to press charges, and the now Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver agreed to fix the camera that was damaged. Did you look up Alana Burstyn?
No, who's that person?
She's the spokeswoman for Brown.
Oh. Why don't we just call Antonio?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, by the way, did he really have a big game this week?
I think he had 69 yards.
Oh, just the way catching. He likes it.
But he had -3 yards rushing. He did not get into the end zone. But, I mean, that is an offense that has so many targets, you know.
How many catches did he have?
Evans, Gronk.
Did you watch him play yesterday?
No, I wasn't able to watch anything.
That's right.
How many catches did he have?
I think he had 7.
7 catches, so he's averaging less than 10 yards a catch. That's a lot of targets, though. I wonder how many times he was targeted.
I think it was 8.
Okay. That might not be enough for him.
We pull up his number. I found a phone number for Sylvia.
Okay.
Should we try it?
Yeah. Sylvia. Oh, Sylvia Berman?
Yeah.
Oh, psyched.
She is 81 years old.
Oh, boy. See, the problem is that
she's scared of him.
The problem is you kind of have to bully people to get anything out of them. Unless you take the complete other side, they're just going to kiss his ass. I mean, I hate being rude to the security guy, but you know they're just.
You weren't rude to him. I didn't think I was rude. You're trying to get some. You're doing your job.
I thought I was too.
You have power today. You're doing your job.
That's right. I'm empowered by my power, more than normal. Sylvia, I pretty
freaking bully you, coward.
She's so not answering her phone.
What?
I'll leave a message. See if I can fire her up with a message.
Come on. She doesn't have a machine. Should we call the guard gate back and leave a message for her there?
Don't tell me she doesn't have her voicemail going.
I guess not.
What 81-year-old doesn't have their voicemail set up?
It's supposed to be a cell phone, too.
81-year-old with a cell phone. Good for her.
All right.
Atlanta Burston not listed.
I have not had a chance to look that up. Do you want to try AB?
Yeah, let's try AB.
Straight to the horse's mouth.
It's funny. It takes two long paragraphs to describe all the things that he's been mixed up in the last couple of years. I don't even think they cover them all either.
Oh, it's finally ringing.
I hear it's your second anniversary.
The wireless customer you are calling is not available. Please try again later.
See, he sent us. That time he sent us straight to voicemail.
Wedding.
He just did?
Yeah, because it rang.
Oh.
So he sent us there. Sometimes that phone's off. But we know that's his number because he answered it before, and plus from where we got it from.
Let's see. Case is closed by Howard Police.
Thank you for that.
We are aware of the reported incident involving Antonio Brown prior to his signing. When Antonio joined us, we were clear about what we expect and required of him. Thus far, he's met all the expectations we have in place, the Buccaneers said. Oh, so they're
fine
with it.
Happy 38th birthday.
They knew about this?
I guess, yep. Yeah.
That, you know,
it wasn't charged.
Give me a break. Really? They knew about this.
Yeah.
Accused, not charged.
And they're okay with it. It seems to me they are walking down the Patriots road, slowly but surely. Oh, it might take a little longer.
Drew, 100%. I think the Patriots way, by the way, is really the Tom Brady way. I'm starting to believe that. I think he just says, hey, what I say goes, and this is how we're doing things here.
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of football, I happen to have Mike Valenti on, and I was in the car at 2 o'clock. I had to run just a couple errands. And so I got to hear Mike Valenti, who is off his rocker.
He's aggravated?
He's so aggravated.
Always.
He is always aggravated, and he was especially aggravated by the Lions.
You're angry.
The Lion?
COVID.
Okay.
Michigan football. Michigan State football.
Sure.
Trump.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was so aggravated.
Wait, he's mad at Trump? I mean, that doesn't...
Yes, he's mad because really? He hasn't... I regret...
Are you okay?
Bring it up because I don't want to get his... The people angry at him, mad at me. But he was angry because Trump won't concede. Because Biden won and Trump won't concede. And he's angry.
All right. Who cares?
I know. I'm surprised he would bring
that
up.
Is that his way of talking politics?
Maybe, yeah. I think the sports stuff really pissed him off, too. And he was...
Well, yeah. It pisses me off.
I have to admit.
I'm with him.
He and I are on the same page with the Lions. Neither one of us are celebrating this victory because we feel that, once again, it makes it appear... that the Patriots West, or the Detroit Lions, could be on the right track because they've won 2 out of 3. Ooh. No, they won 2 out of 3. They won 2 out of...
They won they won one after losing 2 in a row.
Okay.
So they won 3 out of 5, right?
The Falcons win...
Boom! Hot take!
The Falcons win was after 2 previous losses. I mean, backwards.
I don't know.
They were 3-3. They lost 2 games, and then they won this game, right?
That sounds right.
I mean, they were never 2-4.
I thought they lost 2, then 1. I don't know. Whatever.
Why is this so fucking complicated? They just lost 2 games in a row, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Let me bring
up
the schedule. I'm losing my mind.
I think
Lions.
They lost to the Bears, lost to the Packers,
and then they won.
Beat the Cardinals,
right?
Lost to the Saints, beat the Jaguars, beat the Falcons.
Thank you. 3-3.
Lost to the Colts, lost to the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're 3-5. So they've won 2 out of 4. So they've got amazing momentum after winning 2 of 4, all games that are winnable, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the Vikings were 2-5. Redskins 2-7. The Falcons were winless. The Colts were actually the best team of the
group. They won 3 out of the last 5. That's a good thing.
Yeah, 3 out of 5. Wow. I mean, including that amazing Falcons win.
But here's
when,
the thing.
Todd Gurley couldn't help but score, and then yesterday...
Yeah, but they lost the Bears game because DeAndre Swift dropped the ball. I mean, the Lions did...
But that's it, dropping the ball. Dropping the ball and failing to go in the right formation. If they win the victory formation, they win that game.
I know, but...
I don't think they're the same things. I really don't.
This is what I hate about the argument, and Brandon, you can be the tiebreaker. The Lions still had to go down the field and score, and they did.
I give them credit for that. I do, but they never should have had the opportunity to go down the field. No, I think Matt Stafford, in both those wins, Matt Stafford showed his value 110%. He was awesome. 16 seconds. And in the other game, the Falcons game, he had, what, 40 seconds?
Well, I mean, Washington, the credit should really go to Chase Young, but for hitting him.
Well, Washington, though, but he did make the two completions.
Okay.
He could have thrown it 40 yards down the field, been incomplete.
Since you're getting always aggravated like Mike, I agree. They're not going anywhere with Patricia or Quinn. That being said, they're still my team. I know he doesn't like them because he always says, they're your Lions, blah, blah, blah. And I know he doesn't give a shit about the Lions. That's fine. They're still my team. I still want to see him win.
I understand that.
Maybe I'm a sucker for wanting my team to win.
I guess I'm more of a broad view in that I felt it was outrageous that these two guys were given this season, especially Quinn, when you think about it, 5 years?
Yeah.
Year five for him.
I'm with you on that.
He's a deer in headlights. The only moves he can make are with his old friends in New England. No one else will deal with him because he's not good enough to do so.
Sure. Did either of you guys read the long Bleacher Report story from Friday?
No.
Oh, my God. It goes on and on and on. And they're talking to a number of players that were on the team the first year and the second year, but not with the team now, because guys with the team now don't want to probably mix it up on that. Like, they were quoting, I can't say there was a ton of new stuff in there. Like, brand new this season, this stupid stuff happened. It was more about the first 2 years. And who's the big white running back, the fullback-ish guy, for the seventh-round pick, I think?
Oh, I have no idea.
Everybody loved him.
Zach Zenner?
Zach Zenner. Yeah, Zach Zenner had some quotes. And, I mean, it wasn't all horrible, but it was pretty bad. And the way he came in with that whole, rape charge dropped.
I don't like him. He's a dick. He's not.
9-7 isn't good enough.
Sure. Sure.
I thought it was outrageous.
I still want him to win. And if they make the playoffs, I still think that's a good thing.
Here's the thing. If they make the playoffs, then I think he's back.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's a good coach. Maybe it could happen. We'll see. They're 4-5.
So remember when everybody's quote unquote rooting for them to go 0-16?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm Pollyannish. I just didn't understand that. I want my team to win.
It's more
fun
to
be that big.
I think it's
fucking
more
loser.
Isn't it more exciting to go 0-16 than 1-15 or 2-14? I mean, it's something like
sure.
Huge. Or the last game, honestly. I was excited watching the last game because are they going to go 0-16?
Well, yeah.
If they were 1-14 going into that game, I wouldn't have been that interested. Yeah. As far as fear of these guys staying on, I think that's a real thing. I think that's reasonable to be afraid.
I guess the question is, do you trade them making, it sounds silly even saying this, but them making the playoffs and having to keep them?
But then does this mean they're going to have another great draft, in quotes? And
playoffs? What talk about? Playoffs?
But to that point,
and go 13-3 next year
and
contend for the Super Bowl?
You get mad about them hurting their draft position when they do a terrible job drafting in the first round anyway.
Well, I was hoping they wouldn't be drafting next time. We do this with GMs and with coaches. How many GMs/coaches have two or three really bad years and then put it together?
Oh.
It's so rare.
Yeah, very rare, if
Extremely
ever.
Extremely rare.
If ever.
Now, there's certain people, though. Bill Walsh had two rough years, his first 2 years with the 49ers. But the 49ers really believed in what he was doing, and I think a lot of people did because
did you kill Bill Walsh?
They had some pretty good drafts. I think they were, I want to say they were like 2-14, 6-10, and then they went 13-3. So there was, there are those rare cases, but they're rare. And usually you'll see that when someone does pull off, that they're one of the very best.
Yeah.
Frank Beamer, it's interesting. I was looking at the Hokies when Beamer started because Harbaugh's in his sixth year. And I was thinking, Beamer was not in great shape after 5 years.
Can the Lions just hire him? Boy, wouldn't that be a win-win for
Beams?
Everybody? No, Harbaugh.
I'd be kind of interested.
What if Michigan just pays his salary to coach the Lions and go away?
I wonder, would Harbaugh be a better coach in the NFL now than he was at Michigan? I mean, something's wrong at Michigan. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what has happened there.
We know. He wears out his welcome. People don't want to work with him after a few years, especially when the chips are down. Nobody wants to work with him.
But he's
That's
generally,
the problem.
As far as his record, he's an overachiever. Like at Stanford and at the 49ers, he exceeded expectations. At Michigan, he had the biggest expectations. I think more incentive than he had to win anywhere because God knows nobody loves Michigan more than Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I really believe that. I believe he probably wants to win here more than he wanted to win anywhere. But I got to tell you, after watching that press conference following this last game,
Michigan!
he just something doesn't look right. He looks like he's, I mean, I don't know. For one thing, I've heard it so many times.
Look how many.
We got to coach better. We got to play better.
Look how many assistant coaches have left to go elsewhere. Right? Madison went to Ohio State. Granted, that who wouldn't want to work at Ohio State? You have Chris Partridge went to go work for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. People don't want to work with him.
Well, that's an old story with him.
Yeah,
he does rub on people after a while. But the players are refurbished every year. I would think college would be a better place for him over a long term.
Who's the big name that's transferring? Dylan McCaffrey, right? I was shocked watching the first quarter of them saying that McCaffrey is still in class and at school there.
At Michigan?
Yes.
He is?
Yes. So he's still attending classes.
What is he doing?
With the intention of transferring. He's going to transfer. Maybe he's waiting out this semester.
Wait, hold, time out. Dylan McCaffrey, okay, he redshirted, right? He sat out because he got Shea Patterson instead of giving him a shot at it.
I think he had it. I mean, sure.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, he could have still beaten him out, but yeah.
Well, he was a redshirt freshman. Shea Patterson was a starter for a Division I team. I mean, when Shea Patterson transferred, he was the guy.
I just think it says something when this guy is entering the transfer portal and still taking classes at the school.
What is it? I don't know what that means.
Well, why, if you're leaving, why not leave? Why not enroll somewhere?
I have no idea. Does he not know what school he's going to? Is that possible?
It's possible.
I mean, his friends are here. I would think he'd be partying and, you know.
He better not be partying without a mask.
we'll assume he's wearing a mask at all times.
Do you think he's wondering, like, I wonder if I can get back on that team now that Milton kind of shit the bed? I don't think
one guy could really help that team. But, you know, at the same time.
Plays defensive tackle.
I got to say, I would think a lot of real true cult members. And by the way, Valenti called Michigan a cult today. Is it to other people calling the cult?
You guys are peas in a
pod.
You
do. I know, we are.
Peas in a pod. You both hate that
school. You're in the cult, bro!
I thought I was the first person
to call
Michigan a cult.
You both hate that school. You both hate the Lions.
No, I do not hate the University of Michigan.
Yeah, you do.
Are y'all with the cult?
I don't hate the Lions. I don't hate Michigan State.
Love it with me. No, no one's accusing you of that.
Do other people call Michigan a cult? Is that commonplace? I'd never heard that before.
Just you and your best friend.
Are you part of the cult? Are you in a trance right now?
It's okay if Mike does it. I just don't want anybody else doing it. But anyway.
So what was he mad at Michigan for?
He was aggravated.
Oh, what was he aggravated?
For pretending that Jim Harbaugh is a good coach, I guess, and keeping him.
So he wanted him fired immediately?
I don't know. I don't know. I think he feels like in the last couple years, it's been obvious that he's not going anywhere.
I was listening to them the other day when they came on. It's good to hear. I like Rico. And Mike was talking. Something happened the day before where Valenti was at home and he got aggravated because his carbon monoxide monitor was beeping.
He's always aggravated. Poor guy.
It was beeping during the show. And so he just vacated the show and left, which that was actually a somewhat of a relatable, interesting conversation.
Wait, he was beeping in the studio?
No, he's at home. I think
beep,
he was at
beep,
home.
Beep, 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 backing up. You know what I'm saying?
But it was
Hold on. He's on Zoom?
I think he was, yeah. Or at least this was last week.
Why? Did it sound like Zoom?
Yeah.
It did? Shitty?
Well, having the professional ears I did, I knew that he was on Zoom. You could just tell that he was remote.
I thought he sounded like he was in studio.
Well, maybe he's back in studio. Was Rico at home? Maybe they're alternating.
I thought they were both in studio.
Puerto Rico.
Anyway, the monitor was going off, so it was a whole thing. It was a somewhat interesting, relatable conversation, but then it switched to... This kind of blew my mind. Rico was talking about those, what are those movies where they're kind of like suspense horror movies? People die constantly.
Thrillers?
No, it's a specific.
Isn't that a horror movie?
Final Destination. Do you know those
movies?
That's
a kind of movie?
Isn't that a movie?
A Final Destination movie?
There's a whole bunch of them, right? And people die in really weird
ways. That's a genre?
No, it's not a genre.
That's a horror. That's considered a horror franchise.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them, right?
Okay.
There's like 8 Final Destinations. So Rico was talking about that. And then this is what I thought was weird. Mike's like, I can't watch those. I can't deal with those. I can't watch them. I'm like, really? You can't watch a movie? It's like, it just surprised me.
You can't watch the genre, you mean?
That he just does not like horror or suspense movies. I thought that was really weird.
But he's very opinionated. So it fits his brand.
You can't watch a horror. Like, he was scared, he said. to watch them.
It sounds like a goddamn pussy to me.
Well, that's not me saying that. I just thought that was really weird.
Well, what the point I was going to make was, I would think that every real serious Michigan fan or watcher, because I'm very curious too, and I'm a fan, but I'm not in the cult. No, I'm not in the cult. I guess, you know, you're right. I'm a suppressive person because I'm not in the cult. So I'm not a fan.
You like it better when Michigan's struggling in all aspects of the university.
It's kind of fun because the cult really loses their shit. And that's like always more interesting to observe than when they're happy.
It's fine. I know where you stand.
Anyway, yeah, I'm a suppressive person. I admit it. Mm-hmm. So I would believe that if you're in the cult or just an observer of Michigan football, that you would have to be dying to know how Dylan McCaffrey would be playing if he were the starter. And also how he will play when he transfers. Is he going to go to Central Michigan like a lot of other guys who couldn't cut it in the Big Ten went there and be a star for one year?
He could probably go somewhere a little bigger than that.
I think so, too.
I hope he does well. Why not?
But he's got to be a humongous disappointment. He was a five-star guy.
I'm Dylan. I'm an alcoholic.
So is McNamara, so whatever.
But Dylan McCaffrey's brother is a superstar. He's got another brother in college football. And yet he couldn't
beat out Joe Milton.
So. Well, I know. That's what I mean. He was the number one quarterback in his class. That's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Of course, so is Shea Patterson. But I'm just wondering what went askew. Can he just not cut it? Or does he need to be somewhere else? It's one of those things, if I was younger, I'd say, God, I wish I could fast forward to when he plays somewhere else. I can see if he's worth a shit.
Oh, I'm sure wherever he'll go, he'll be good. He'll be fine. He probably has a better coach.
Work that way. I mean, maybe not. But here's my next question. Okay, he redshirted. He played behind Shea. That's 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. He sits out this year. That's 4 years. You get 5 years to play 4 years. So they said he had 2 years of eligibility left. Yeah, How does he have two years left?
Well, isn't Brandon Peters still playing again in Illinois? He didn't play this weekend. I don't know if he is playing. Yeah, so
how do you have 6 years to play 4 years?
He redshirted.
He was behind Shea, and now he's not playing this year.
Did he redshirt his first year? Are you positive he redshirted?
What else would he do?
Wasn't a true freshman? I don't know. Maybe he got in for a play or two.
He's 23.
He's 23 and he's a junior?
Wait, McCaffrey or Brandon Peters?
Peters.
Well, either way.
It's incredible.
But McCaffrey is a junior.
Okay.
I mean, he will be a junior next year. They're saying he can play two more years.
Yeah.
So I'm going, how can he play two more years? He gets two red shirts?
I don't know.
Or did he get injured last year? And so they said, oh, well, that doesn't count because he's injured. They applied for the extra year?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Who was that running back at Michigan State that played for like 16 years? Remember that guy? There was some guy that was just there forever. I swear to God. Oh, and he is so aggravated with Michigan State.
Always.
You know, the Michigan win, of course, makes the season palatable. But other than that, they have been so fucking bad. They have 7 points the last 2 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, because they were shut out.
Shit.
Indiana, yeah.
Well, Mike was giving Rico a hard time.
Are they going to play this weekend?
Who's on the schedule?
Maryland, who canceled against Ohio State because of COVID.
Oh, well, then they can't play for 3 weeks. It's the Big Ten. The Big Ten, if you have three guys with COVID, the other 100 guys can't possibly play the game.
Yeah.
Zotford and Holly is back in black.
Disaster.
And they are glad to be back. And, of course, you've heard about the $6,000. You could walk out there with $6,000 in your pocket, not to mention the 0% financing with the Black Friday deal. And, by the way, with the three-week pause in bars and bowling alleys and such, my understanding is you can still go to the showroom at Zotford.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why wouldn't you? I mean, retail's open.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that you still can do.
Yeah.
So get a brand new whip from Zotford with 0% financing and $6,000 in cash in your pocket. Buy gifts, pay bills, do whatever the hell. Put it back in the car. Lower your payment. Plus, during Zotford's Black Friday sales event, you can lease the all-new loaded 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4 while supplies last, as low as $216 a month. And now the one we've all been waiting for, the 2021 Ford Bronco Sport, just over $300 a month. Our friends at Zotford are back with their Black Friday sales event, and you can get all the details and Explorer, their massive inventory, at dealsinthed.com. $6,000. You gotta love that. And Luke Nowacki, you know, instead of a commercial.
Ooh, Luke.
I want to show.
And I hope everyone put their money with him, man.
What, Luke Nowacki? Yeah, exactly. What'd the market do today?
Oh, hit their high, man.
Well, we got two vaccines now.
Yeah, how about that Moderna?
This one's Trump's vaccine. This is the one he came up
with. Good. I don't care. He can take all the credit for it.
Isn't this project, isn't this on Project Hurry Up?
That's right.
Project Hurry Up.
What's it called?
Warp Speed.
Warp Speed, that's right.
They did take money from Warp Speed, yeah.
Okay.
And this vaccine is way better.
Something.
They're both RNA technologies, but this one can be refrigerated, not frozen.
I have to tell you, well, that's so much easier.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be diluted.
See, if Trump had told him to hurry up,
I know, I don't know
why. That wouldn't happen.
I can't believe they held it for after the election.
I have to tell you, this business of vaccines and politicians really, really bothers me. Trump didn't make the vaccine, okay? Maybe he told him to hurry the fuck up. But he didn't make the vaccine.
It's your opinion.
And I don't think he should be elected or not elected because somebody had a vaccine and when they had the vaccine. And this is this. I'm not letting anybody else off the hook either. I'm fully expecting that the Warp Speed vaccine will be criticized. It will. The Pfizer vaccine will be favored for some reason by certain people.
Yeah, but that's not
because they don't want the Warp Speed vaccine to be the one.
But that's, well, there's more than one.
And people on the right will prefer the Warp Speed vaccine.
Good, because it's America first. It's an American company, an American lab.
Well, you see, when I hear polio, though, I always hear about that that Jonas Salk guy or whatever. But I don't hear about like the president who was president when that came.
And you shouldn't.
It's because he didn't do warp speed.
Yeah, nobody told him to hurry up.
Yeah, told him to take your time.
Project, hurry the fuck up! Yeah, I saw the guy from Health and Human Services on something
Azar.
This morning.
Yeah,
and you know he was so excited and so happy. And George Stephanopoulos was really trying to bring him down. Like, well, so were they trying to stall this thing so that be after the election? Because like, hey, look, we got a vaccine. This is awesome. And George wouldn't quite let him off the hook. I'm trying to think of what did George say.
Yeah. I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
You know how 60 Minutes will do like a letter to the editor once in every like 20 episodes?
Yeah. And when they need do
to,
that a lot.
When they need to fill time, they'll show like two letters.
Yeah.
So one was about their story on Operation Warp Speed. It was, why did you hold it till after the election? Because it was
60 minutes.
60 minutes did that piece, I guess, after the election ran on Operation Warp Speed, and it was a good. There's nothing wrong with Operation Warp Speed. It's a good thing. It's a great thing.
I'm trying to remember what George got really like. Wouldn't let it go, kind of.
And that doesn't
it was like,
sound like
this is good, you know. And it was, you know, I suppose it was a fair question. Anyway, Luke Nowacki, the first question was fair. After that, I thought just let it go, whatever. I mean, it is to be celebrated. Luke sent me something today that I was very interested in, and it had to do with our conversation yesterday about the Bo Biden Cancer Fund. And Luke's point was really that, hey, that's how it's done. They're not really trying to cure cancer. They're just trying to make waves.
Moderna's going to.
Look what we're doing. Well, Moderna's a little different.
They had good test results on their cancer vaccine.
Let me find Mikey.
They have a cancer vaccine?
I don't know. I don't think a vaccine. I don't know if a vaccine is the right way to describe it.
We're full of diseases. We got cancer. We got whooping cough. We got diabetes. We got it all.
Diabetes.
Rosacea.
Why do I love it when people say diabetes? Why does it feel so good? Anyway, it started with my seeing the show on ID about this scumbag who started these companies that were just fake as hell. And he, of course, stole all this money. And he started this one company that made homes for the poor. They were supposed to be, I forget how much they were going to cost, but they were made out of some product that was special and new and could handle the weather. And it was really focused in on, he had a private jet fly into Haiti with Carlos Boozer and a bunch of athletes that he had swindled money out of, and they all got out of the private plane like, hey, we're here to help them, and they all start walking around acting important.
Yeah.
And he got a $10 million grant from the United States government, which he blew out his ass. He never built one house in Haiti.
This is like Brad Pitt.
And so all the... Well, Brad Pitt at least built shitty houses.
I mean, that's true.
He didn't build houses at work, but he did try to build the houses. This guy never even put up a house. And he lied. He made fake financial statements and all this crap. And he got all this money from all these people.
You lie!
And when it turned out to be fake, I really don't think these people were trying to blame anyone or trying to point the finger at anyone. But they couldn't help but say, you know, I wish I could remember who it was. Carlos Boozer, Alonzo Mourning, I believe, was involved. Mm. There were a few other high-profile names, and a couple of them just right out of bed said, well, you know, Jeb Bush was on the board of directors. I figured he would have vetted it. I mean, they didn't say, like, boy, I studied this thing inside out. They just saw that the Bush name was on the board of directors, and they thought that meant something. And I think a lot of people do that. And the fact is that Jeb Bush...
I wouldn't lie to you guys.
...got a pile of money for putting his name on it, and they paid him $15,000 a month. Oh, he got consulting fees, too.
God.
And it was completely fake, and it sucked in other people's money. And I know I've mentioned a couple times, I just want to explain where this came from. It's not like I'm openly just trying to pick on Joe Biden's Bo Biden charity, but it was a pile of shit. And so Luke, of course, responds, I know that Trump ran some shady charities also. Biden's was chump change compared to the Clinton Foundation. In 2014, they took in $177.8 million in revenue and distributed, and then he has the financial statement, line 13.
Mm-hmm.
They took in almost $178 million in revenue. They distributed $5.1
million. Wow.
So they distributed, that's less than 3%. Yeah. Less than 3%. I mean, if you've got a charity that is humdinging and calling in every last favor, which you've got to be doing to bring in $178 million, and only 3% or less of it goes to actually help people?
Yep.
That's not good. In fact, that sucks. That's all.
This is Claudio Osorio.
Claudio Osorio. Oh, yeah, that's the guy that Jeb Bush had on his board of directors, correct? Is that why you mentioned his name? Okay.
Well, he's I thought this is the dude that you're actually talking about.
Yeah, he's the guy that hired Jeb Bush. And Jeb said he did his due diligence.
Yeah, right.
Nice due diligence, Jeb. He did not. Jeb was very low energy when it came to due diligence. So, yeah, Luke points out that he distributed $5.1 million. That's all. Distributed less than 3%. Hey, I did the math, and I didn't even read Luke's next
line. Jeb Bush is a low energy person.
Distributed less than 3% of what they brought in. Salaries, $35 million. Other expenses, in quotes, $50.4 million. $178 million charity, which, by the way, please don't tell me people are going door to door begging regular people for money. These are people that want favors from Bill or Hillary Clinton. They write fat checks. How in the world could they have to spend $50 million to bring in $170? I don't believe that for a second. I mean, I believe their balance statement, but I bet you there's a lot of private jet trips and all kinds of bullshit that's written off as other expenses that
he
has little
to do
with
it. He made that airplane so cheap for me, I couldn't help but buy it.
So in 2014, they brought in $177.8 million. Total expenses were $86.5 million, of which included the $5.1 in actual charitable grants. By year-end, sitting on a pile of $332 million in net assets. Recall shortly after Hillary lost the 2016 elections, contributions to... No, I don't recall that, Luke, but you're telling me. Contributions to the Clinton Foundation dried up almost completely. Makes one wonder if those donors were really donating to what they believed to be a worthy cause, or were they donating to buy influence? You know, I would like to think that they saw they distributed less than 3% and said, I'm not giving them any fucking money, because they're only going to use 3 cents on a dollar that I give them. Fuck them. But you know, it's what Luke is saying is more than likely the reason. Reincorporate Red Shovel Studios is a 501c3 with a mission statement to bring joy to the world and retain those earnings tax exempt. Why the fuck not? Everyone else is doing it. Thank you, Luke. So then,
and it has always been my go-to charity.
I wrote Luke back. Hey, Luke, does the Clinton Foundation pay all? Who do they pay all that money to? $34 million in salaries. And then Luke wrote back. Great question. Thank you, Luke. Not listed in their tax filings, according to Politico, 2,200 employees. Wow. Really? Very attractive women working there, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking at charitywatch.org, and the number one guy is Bruce Lindsay, the director, gets $404,000.
Oh, wow.
And then the executive VP in charge of programs, Maura Pally, whoever these people are, $330,000. David L. King, the CDO, gets $307,000.
What a bunch of bullshit.
They still rate them an A-.
Who rates them an A-?
Charity Watch.
For giving out less than 3%? Why do they give them an A-? Well, I'd love to know.
They say that their program percentage, amount spent on, and I don't, you know, charity, this is just them, amount spent on programs related to overhead is 75%.
Well, that's impossible because they have $35 million in salaries and they have $50 million in other expenses. That's half of what they took in that year. How could they be seven? How could it possibly be that high?
I don't know. I don't know.
Lou, can you answer this question and tell me why that grade is full of shit? I don't think I really need your help, but I want your help.
Yeah.
Current Politico, 2,200 employees with a former CEO getting over $500,000. Each employee could distribute about $2,300 each. And about $20,000 on travel. I mean, it takes money to raise money, right? Yep. They also have an endowment that is, I forgot what the number is. It's huge, though. I mean, millions and millions.
Ridiculous.
Why would the Clinton Foundation need an endowment?
They don't.
For what?
They don't.
So I guess that's Luke's commercial.
It's annoying.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Inc. member FINRA/SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Inc. is separately owned and other entities and or marketed names, products, and services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Inc.
That may have sounded bad. You're not going to podcast that, are you?
Simpsons on podcasting last night. Hang on for that. Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Rational financial advice. Luke does his homework. That's why I like Luke.
Great guy.
And I asked him about my niece, who has some money to invest. It's a long story, but she has some money to invest. And so Luke was immediately asking a lot of questions like, what are her goals? How long does she want to invest this? Yeah. And what did she have earned income in 2019? The answer to that was no. Unfortunately, but she was in the hospital for a long time.
How about just go down to the casino and double it?
Double your paycheck. We haven't gotten that far yet. Luke was suggesting a Roth IRA until he found out she had no income, which what he was suggesting made a lot of sense for her because it's one of these things where we're trying to help her put some money aside and let it grow and forget about it for a while. Now, whether that can happen or not. In fact, my last question to my sister was... Can we just tell her if she invests in something that she can't touch it?
Yeah.
Or will
yeah,
she can. Go online and find out that she can?
Because how old is this kid?
Katie's no dummy. I have a funny feeling she might find out, but she wants to do the right thing. So we're all hoping that we can find something with Luke's help. Dr. Roche is doing his great work. He is putting in beautiful boobs in women who want them in all sizes. And also, a lot of people have boobs, and they just want to make them firmer, and they want them to stand up. And so his boob lifts, incredible pictures. And go to the website for that. Go to www.droche.com and look at Dr. Roche's brilliant work. Or you call for an appointment at 248-338-1110. Of course, the Diva, the liposuction, and all the many, many things they're doing. In fact, they had the specials for... Well, what did he have specials for that he was still keeping? Was it Sweetest Day or something?
Yeah, he's just keeping it tight.
Yeah, they got all kinds of great deals going on at the offices of Dr. Roche.
Nice.
248-338-1110 or go to DRROCHE or listen to Trudy's commercial on Wednesday, which will be a little more detailed.
Nice.
And oh, this is a funny one. I was going to do the Grow Green commercial.
Nice.
Oh, wait. What were you looking up, Mark? Oh.
I wasn't looking up anything other than...
That may have sounded bad. You're not going to podcast that, are you?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, The Simpsons on podcasting.
I was just looking at the updated Twitter poll, though.
Oh, how's the Twitter poll doing?
Let me pull it back up. It's doing great. Did you vote yet, Brandon?
I did vote.
It's starting to swing in his favor.
Why are you guys bullying me?
There's something very important, though. Tomorrow morning, as people start hearing the show and they start hearing all the obstacles Brandon faced, that could help the poll.
Hey, don't diminish the 600 votes already because they don't know the conversation. 77.6% said Brandon should go to work when he loses power.
Okay.
And then Big G's says, I bet Hawk would find a way.
Hawk in his chair. Of course, those wheels are hot, though. Hawk is always fired up to move around those Hot Wheels.
Someone says you're embarrassing to the millennials. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm not a millennial.
I would really like the 22-point-something% and the 77%. If you would drop me an email on your opinion on, you've heard all the pros and, well, you've certainly heard the cons about why some people felt Brandon should go to work, and now you've heard everything about the, I mean, he could have lost his basement. Is that how Marcus said it? I lost a basement.
He lost a basement.
I lost a basement.
Brandon, this, you know, listen to this guy. You're not as bad as this guy. John says, I had a guy go out. He lost power. He lives 3 miles from the office, and he didn't go in 3 miles away. Brandon is the king of explainers. I'll buy whatever he sells. They're on your side.
Appreciate it.
King of explainers.
And Hawk was even talking about not being able to do anything without power.
You guys fail to realize that without power, I am nothing.
No, he's got a power pack. That thing is, it's not like his wheelchair's plugged in.
Bob says if you're out of vacation days, so. This guy says he adds to the convo. it's great. Take the bus, lazy ass one.
You guys are bullies.
We even talk about public transportation. I know, I realize I have a thing.
Leave Brandon alone.
Hey, Hawk, be careful. You might end up in the isolation booth.
Look at all the people that have Brandon's back.
I know, it's Hawk. Good. That would feel good.
Yeah, Marcus. Marcus said he'd have
a... Marcus kicks ass.
What did he say? Marcus said I'd have a pile of people. We would... I mean, it may sound like he'd have...
And smoke stress.
The entire neighborhood over there protecting the house. But nobody ever asked.
Glad the house is. I'm glad your house is safe, Brandon. And you haven't You haven't lost a basement.
I appreciate that.
I know. That flood, it could be more than a basement.
One more question.
You could lose two stories.
One more question. What was running off the generator in your
house? I thought I already told you there was multiple refrigerators.
Marcus's house.
Marcus's entire house.
Multiple just from your house. Multiple refrigerators?
Yeah.
You couldn't combine them into one or, once again, put the stuff outside?
I don't know. Do you really stack your meat on your front porch when you have a power outage? Is that what you do?
Yeah, I put everything in
a cold. What neighborhood do you live in, by the way? It sounds like...
if it's cold, well, if you ever want free meat and the power goes out, just go by our...
Yeah, go by Brandon's house.
Or my house, no.
Or if you want to set up a pickup on fire, go to Brandon's house.
Oh, man. We're going to bring that up.
Or if you want to lose a basement, take your house to Brandon's neighborhood.
Yeah, take Brandon's basement or Marcus's.
You freaking bully, you coward!
I did agree with Brandon's prep today, where he was taking a little jab at Rashida Tlaib, and she says that a primarily black community in 48217 is still without power. Temps were near freezing overnight. At DT Energy is raising our rates while failing to invest in infrastructure upgrades to prevent outages during severe weather. Yeah, where you been, Rashida Tlaib? I've been talking about that for about, 10 years? Maybe more. Is it really appropriate? Is it really significant that a black community is still without power? Because I don't think DTE has racist...
No one cares about the whites!
Do they have racist outages? I mean, is it possible to decide who gets their power out?
It's pretty devious of DTE to go... That neighborhood's black. We're going to fix their stuff last.
Well, it seems very rando, too. I mean, in terms of when you lose your power.
When you lose your power, yeah. But if they aren't going to take care of that neighborhood because they're black.
Well, yeah, no. That would be, I guess, the ultimate or the final insult.
Even though they are a public utility. But
I tend to feel that when Rashida Tlaib tweets stuff like this, that it's really divisive. It doesn't help.
Well, that's what Brandon, I told you, you should have taken a picture of you and Marcus and said, hey, I thought we were all supposed to unite after the election. Our neighborhood doesn't have power either.
Well, that's the thing. She's specifically talking about, was it Highland Park?
48217, whatever that is.
Well, you know, I was looking at the DTE outage map, and I mean, there is so many people, like right now, as of right now, like the biggest area that's close to us, all of Birmingham and Beverly Hills is like out. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's a large chunk.
I got an email from somebody in Birmingham says like it's weird that every other stoplight is out on Woodward. Like there's odd. One is out, one is working, one is out, one is working, and then when you get in the city, it's like that too. It's just strange.
And to be honest with you, the biggest blackouts right now are in the Thumb area, and I mean they are massive, like Frankenmuth, Yale. Brown City, all these areas, just huge acreage of just, I mean, obviously there's probably not a lot of people in comparison to the volume of something in the city, but the Thumb area right now, they're all out of power too. So I don't think that they're picking and choosing which neighborhoods. I don't think that they do that. I think they do it based on whatever their call center tells them to, or their logistics person. They say, hey, you go there.
Well, it should be whatever one has the most people, in my opinion, or the most households.
I have to admit,
it's really about which one has the most businesses.
I was to some degree triggered by Peter Frampton's Twitter because he was following David Hogg. So I got all his retweets of David Hogg, which got so overwhelming.
What's Hogg up to, man?
I don't know. He's kind of losing power, isn't he?
Yeah.
Speaking of losing power. Anyway, if I followed Rashida Tlaib, because I went to this tweet. I didn't just read it. I just went to her Twitter just to see what else she was tweeting about. And I have to say, I would be so triggered if I read her Twitter. If I followed her and I got all her tweets in my feed. Oh, my God. She had, I mean, you think Trump has a lot of conspiracy theories. Holy crap. I mean, she is tweeting them nonstop. And she also had a tweet, and I'm glad I went to her Twitter because I saw this again. She tweeted out the 15-minute post that this Muslim woman had after she was forced to deplane over a disagreement she had with somebody. Did you guys hear about that story?
No.
Okay.
I guess I should follow her on Twitter.
Don't do it.
By the way, here's David Hogg's most recent tweet that he wrote. It goes like this. It goes, I hate corruption. Each clap was an emoji. Oh, still got 12,000 likes.
The clapping, does that make me happy when I'm playing Leon?
12,000 likes. Looking. Please tell me he used to get a lot more.
I don't know. I'm not looking at it. I'm moving on to Rashida Tlaib.
Right, Brandon, can you go to David Hogg's Twitter? I just want to hear that it's less. There's less interaction than there used to be. That's all I want to know.
There absolutely is. Back from the, from the times that he was on the tour, you know, going city to city. Yeah, he's got much less of a reach now. In fact, he still gets trolled from time to time because, as you can recall, I think he had a poll that said, hey, would you guys like to hear me do a daily? Right. And I think it was like 96% said no. And he was like, out of like 25,000 people voting, and he was like, oh, okay.
Did he delete that?
He did.
I think he did. So honestly,
so funny.
Tweets and retweets so much, it's hard to go back very far. But let's see where I'm at right now.
If you go back to the Parkland days, I'm sure you know everybody liked every tweet.
Well, October, he would get about 20,000 back in October, so he's fading away.
You mean last month?
Yeah.
Well, what about October a year ago?
How do you go back even further, Brandon? Is there a way to jump back?
You just
got to
keep scrolling down. He's the type of dude that tweets and retweets so much that it's going to take you a really long time just to get a month or two.
Okay, while you're scrolling, I'll mention this Muslim woman. She was on an American Airlines flight. And here's sort of the end of the story, and I'll go back to the beginning. She was informed that because she was... There was sort of a thing between her and another passenger that they wanted to get off the plane. And she was getting up, and then she goes, wait a second, is he getting off the plane? And the guy just sort of went, look, you get off the plane. Don't, you know, just trying to sort of stay focused. And then I think maybe eventually she was so persistent, he might have even revealed that the guy was not getting deplaned. And so she declared that, I'm not getting off the plane unless he gets off the plane. So... Guess what they had to do?
Kick her off.
They had to take the whole plane off.
Oh, God.
They took everyone off the plane. And she was, I believe she was charged with something. I don't know what. Or they just said she was detained for a while. She may not have been charged with anything. Okay, here's what happened. She was in the, I guess there's, you know, the normal security, and then there is also a fast one. You've got, you signed up for it and you travel a lot and such.
What it's called, but yeah, you bypass the line.
So she was in front of someone who I think was trying to divert off to the fast line.
Gotcha. Like,
and so she was taking her shoes off and I guess it was taking a long time. So he just went over to the other line.
Okay.
He went past her. And so she was livid that he used his privilege to go in front of her, she said. And he said, well, you are taking a long time taking your shoes off. I'm just trying to get to the fast lane.
I'm using my fast privilege because I'm faster.
This is supposed to be a hurry up kind of thing, not a wait behind people, you know, who are doing all the shoes and the belts and all that stuff. Because I don't even know if he has to do all that stuff, to be honest, if you're in the fast lane.
No, you're pre-screened.
So anyway, she made a big to-do about him using his privilege to bud in front of her. And most of the responses I saw were people saying,
slow.
People who are travelers were like, hey, screw her.
Yeah.
He's in a different zone than her, and she's taking too goddamn long, and that's the whole point of that line.
I hate slow people.
And she made such a big deal about him using his privilege. Like, he did it because he's white, and he did it to her because she's Muslim. And in the end, they did replane the people, and I guess they left a couple hours late or something like that. But anyway, she, of course, was tweeting about the racism, I guess, involved in what happened to this woman, or the privilege that this other person, I don't know what it was, but it was something in support of her. And I had forgotten about that story, so unfortunately I was forced to remember it.
All right, I figured out how you can search a specific Twitter profile by a date. When was Parkland? Was that 2018?
Might have been 2017 or 2018, but I mean, just a couple years back will help. I at least know that he's getting less
that happened
interaction.
In February of 2018.
Yeah, I remember it was Valentine's Day, wasn't it?
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, Jesus Christ, why is this so hard? All right, give me a chance. It's the first time I've ever done this. My first day.
Are you in 2018?
That may have sounded bad. You're not going to podcast that, are you?
It's my first day.
I say get your resumes ready.
I must say, The Simpsons really nailed the podcasting. It was Homer-centric. I only watched about 10 minutes of it, but it was about podcasting because Lisa was listening to a true crime podcast. So Marge, of course, feels that, well, I really should find out what she's listening to. She's having trouble sleeping and so on and so forth. So Marge starts listening to the true crime podcast and immediately starts asking Lisa questions about the crime, not really trying to protect her, but she's clearly as addicted as Lisa is, and so they're going back and forth. And then Kent Brockman, the news anchor on the Springfield station, is, I think they're telling him, hey, you better get yourself dressed. We're about to go live here. And he's like, oh, it's just
from
some silly.
From now on, I will report with
judgment. Oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry.
It's just some silly podcasting thing, you know, like nobody cares. And then he walks into this giant, you know, people are just going crazy because this podcast is broadcasting live.
Podcast? Flash in the pan wannabe journalism. Mark my words, nobody cares.
And here's the...
Maybe I'm just not up with the times, but who listens to podcasts?
Oh, come on now.
Here's their very accurate description of a true crime podcast from The Simpsons.
From This American Crime and KBBL Springfield, it's interminable. One grisly story told week after week after week after week.
In vocal fry.
Some people look at a neck and think, what a great place for a scarf. Others think, I'd like to choke that. For Jackson Reeve of Lansing, Michigan, it was the latter. Our podcast has gotten over 20 million downloads and is being adapted into a streaming series starring Alexander Skarsgård on Amazon Prime.
The vocal fry was just perfect because I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
But it's so true. Oh,
that's
boy.
That's a great episode.
And then Kent Brockman gets back to the station, and there's, of course, six people with their ear pads on, and they're listening to podcasts.
That was his family. He's like, at least I have my family.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I really appreciated that because, honestly, it was so dead on. And, I mean, they were making jokes, too. Kent Brockman even said something about the last TV news viewer out there, something of that effect.
Yeah, no one watches.
Traditional media is just falling by the wayside in a ways I just never would have dreamed that could happen. And we talked about it. I mean, in 2000, 2005,
okay,
2010.
Boomer.
No, that's not acting boomerish. Boomerish thing would be to say, I can't believe people are watching TV and listening to radio by appointment, just like they always did.
Yeah.
Or why are people buying the physical newspaper? It's not the same reading it online.
So it only took me like an hour to find it. But going back at Hogg's tweets, like from August and the summer of 2018, even the spring, he only got like 4,000 likes.
Oh, man. And he got 12,000 for one he just put out?
Yeah.
I didn't want to know this.
There's one that 2,600.
I thought he used to get hundreds of thousands. He's got like a million followers. He can only get 3,000 likes?
Well, I think he does too much.
Can you go back to like right after the shooting? Maybe I can hear a number that'll make me feel better. A really high number. Sure. I mean, didn't think that 3,000 includes Peter Frampton!
I know.
Only 3,000 people are liking him, and Peter Frampton is retweeting him? The fuck?
Let me find another one.
So disappointed. But we used to talk about it, seriously, in the aughts. We used to discuss, how can radio stations just keep playing these same songs over and over and over? You've got all these platforms with, you know, these really unique way of selling music. You know, whether it's a deeper catalog or it's deep cuts or it's, you know, one band. I mean, there's a million ways to listen to music, and radio is just doing the same old jukebox, jukebox, jukebox. Same 300 songs. Still playing the same 300 songs they were playing 15 years ago. I don't get it.
Well, I guess the plan is just to get rid of anybody who'd be on air and do copy whatever, you know, become Spotify on the public airwaves.
I'm trying to figure out what WLZ is going to do because they let Bill McAllister go.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for Bill because, you know, I just don't know. Where's a guy you spent 25 years of your career in one industry, and he's really not... I don't think they're paying Bill a ton of money.
Yeah.
But they can't afford to pay one guy to do the morning show. There's no one else in the show, is there, besides traffic?
No, it's just him.
I was wondering if they had a syndicated show, maybe, that they were going to take real cheap.
Oh, maybe. I thought it was just iHeart saying, you have to get rid of a bunch of people, because it's been happening...
Yeah, they do.
Everywhere around the country. And actually, Detroit's only lost, I think, two or three people.
It seems like about every 8 months, iHeart just randomly says, you must unload this many people.
That's sad.
And so, I mean, you can't say, no, just unload some people. So, yeah.
Our podcast has gotten over 20 million downloads and is being adapted into a streaming series starring Alexander Skarsgård on Amazon Prime.
So we'll be fine.
Anyway, I did hear from WLZ something about, you know, interest in doing the morning show. And I said, well, we could talk about that. And I've really had very mixed feelings about it. I mean, the idea of getting up early every morning is out of the question. Mm-hmm. But I thought maybe we could just, they could take the podcast every morning, Monday through Friday. And no, I didn't think it would bring in a lot of money.
Got a case of the sleepies.
No, I always thought they should have played at least a clip every day or two clips.
Yeah, they could have.
That's just me thinking outside of the box.
Just teaser clips on Friday or something. Mm-hmm. Or maybe give us the 9 o'clock hour on Friday. Or maybe give us the 9 o'clock hour every day. Monday
through
Friday.
I have an extra $250 in my paycheck.
I mean, we're cheap.
Well, yeah.
It's cheap programming. It's content. It's local content. Who's giving you local content in the morning? Damn it!
Nobody? Yeah, I was going to say Dave and Chuck, but they don't do anything.
They don't do a lot of local content.
I guess WWJ.
Yeah, that's right.
Stoney.
Okay. Stoney, yeah. Stoney probably does.
I've not listened to it. Is Jansen on there yet?
Oh, yeah. He's been on there for a while.
Have you heard it? I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, John's okay.
I thought he was good, you gotta but find I'm part of the legs. Cult, so.
I mean, I think it's hard when you introduce a new person, you got to find your legs. Rico and Valeni sounded better than the last time I heard them. So
I agree.
Maybe that's coming along.
They'll be fine.
But I suspect they will syndicate a show because I don't know what other local person are they going to hire and for how much less are they going to pay them for doing it. Bill would be... To me, if you're looking for the economical way to do a morning show and play music and have someone with some credibility, Bill would be a good guy to do that.
Yep.
And
economical. I mean, when you make this a 501c3, it's a write-off for him anyway.
That's right. Are they just playing music now? Is there anyone on the morning show? Oh, Casey's doing the morning show. That's right.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He really is.
But how much time can Casey put in the morning show when he's doing the night show? And he's also the program director. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Brandon just got up. I hope the sump pump's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know what? He just texted me.
He still has to guard the sump pump.
My furnace is out. I'll be back in 3 minutes.
His furnace is... Good thing he was home.
Three-minute fix.
Thank God he was home.
He's going to be so mad. I think all these lumps are justified. He fought back. Maybe we're wrong.
I will read all emails. If people send emails defending Brandon... or criticizing Brandon, they will be read. Do not call the boner line because he has first crack at the boner line.
I didn't even think
about
it.
Don't even think about it.
He's got to produce a boner line because of Manscaped.
Oh, that's
he's
right.
He's got to do one this week. Sorry, two
well,
days.
I hope he's able to do that with the power situation. I mean, his power is out a full day. Good God.
I wonder what he'd do with all his time. No wife, no kid.
Yeah, I'm confused about what's going on in that house.
Yeah, I thought maybe down with Marcus.
I thought maybe he and Kristen had separated. Crazy. I mean, I really didn't.
I gotta tell you,
but
If my power went out, Julie could not be out of that house with the kids fast enough if the power went out in our house.
I don't blame her.
So I don't blame her either. I would be standing on the porch going, why can't I go too? I don't want to go too. How's the furnace?
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
When I plugged in the furnace into the normal power, I forgot to turn it on at the thermostat. So
it's okay.
I was wondering why I was getting so cold and chilly down here.
Got some really, I think, some pretty good entertainment news. Very interesting stuff as Wendy Williams.
Oh.
Once again, she triggers some pretty interesting gossip. Oh. But first, Grogreen is up and running in their new 75,000 square foot facility. The new space gives them the chance to buy even more bulk and pass an even greater savings to you, the growers. We were talking about possibly growing a plant down here.
We're doing
1 ounce of Purple Opal, 2 ounces of Fisherman's Friend, and a half ounce of Alabama Kush.
Well, I'm going to have to clean out the Silence of the Lambs room back
there. Well, they don't need that much. I mean, how much space does it take?
Well, they have a tent, a growing tent, so it's got to be 6 feet. I know.
It's a big deal.
Well, it's not a big deal, but I mean, if you want to grow it right, let's grow it.
Oh, no, I agree. We got to grow it right, and we're going to have to show it on Facebook. So
yeah, you know, I think I'll just grow my own weed.
I'm growing my own weed.
We can't show a dying plant on Facebook every day.
No, I know. It's a big responsibility.
So we're going to have, like, giant flower tops and stuff eventually?
That's the plan.
Wow, I'm kind of excited about this.
Yeah, Brandon. Next thing you know, Brandon will be back in studio.
Hey, and we can't lose power either because...
You're right.
If we lose power, we lose Grogreen.
That might be the kind of thing Brandon would bring his generator down for, right?
We might have to have... Can you go without the lamps for a couple days or no? It's probably a big deal.
It's a Grogreen question. I don't know.
Well, anyway, so much to talk about here. This is funny because this was just an idea, and I thought, are we really going to do this? This sounds like too good an idea not to do, which
and
is...
That green thing today was enough.
Is to have Grogreen and maybe our friend over at Grogreen, you know, set it up down here, and the next thing you know,
I'll grow that fucker, man.
Weed every day.
I mean, could we have a special camera just on it, too?
Yeah, we can do that. That's actually already been planned for. Growing stuff.
All the lighting, too. And the idea first was, well, you know, they're big on selling the lighting now and, you know, setting up growing operations. It's not, I mean, that's a big part of their business. So
we're just a little person in that thing. I mean, if you want to set up a whole operation and be a real caregiver.
But they were talking about.
Brandon's got Lipton's cream.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
We were talking about having Grogreen sponsoring the lighting, you know, to draw attention to the fact that they are, you know, that they are heavily involved in selling the goods you need and giving you the advice you need to have a growing operation or to grow whatever you need. And then the idea was like, well, if they're going to sponsor the lighting, why don't they sponsor a plant? Why don't we actually grow one? And so now we're going to do it. And they've got insane deals in the meantime, like Gravita Pro Slime Line Systems with lamp for only $240, bags of Ocean Forest for $10, and bales of Pro Mix for just $25. Grogreen has over 700 pallets of soil in stock at all times, including the all-new Michigan-made Super Soil from Six Coast and Cultivation Nation, 7030 from Fox Farm. Your time is money and best spent in your garden. That's why Grogreen offer Michigan $50 flat rate shipping, whether they'll bring any size order anywhere in Michigan on their own fleet of trucks for just $50. Wow, that's incredible. $50 flat rate shipping. I've never heard of any such thing. They'll bring any size order anywhere in Michigan on their own fleet of trucks for just $50, including pallets of soil. See, they want volume. Shop in-store or online at growgreenmi.com. Mention the Drew and Mike podcast and get a free Grogreen t-shirt. So there you go.
I'm in that age range where I keep noticing things that I'm officially old because of X, because I like doing this or I'm worried about this, you know, just.
Well,
things.
That's better than noticing that you're really old because you notice this and that.
Yeah,
because
your balls touch the water when you sit on the toilet or something.
Well, not exactly that. No, well, that isn't what I had in mind.
But one of them was when I realized I enjoy gardening. What an old thing to enjoy. Like when I think of gardening, I think of old people.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I got my
growing it, man.
When I bought my first house in Phoenix, I kind of enjoyed gardening too because for some my mind just left all the shit that, you know, it was stuck thinking about.
Plus I like moving soil and rocks around.
Yeah,
turning that soil upside down.
And Drew liked to shape his hedges into baseballs.
Yeah, the baseball tree. That was cool. It is so far from the baseball tree now.
Charlotte has a new obsession. It's power tools, which is kind of fun.
As long as she's being safe.
Well, yeah, of course.
Charlotte.
The problem is that she's dealing with me, which I'm not very good at stuff. So she wanted to make Julie something for her birthday. And I'm like, I don't, you know, what do you want to make? She's like, let's make a box. I'm like, and she's doing this, Drew, like a box this big, like a 3-foot by 4-foot box. Like,
a box for what?
That's all I said. I said, what do you want to put in this box? She goes, I don't know. Mom can put stuff in. I'm like, she doesn't want a box. So I said, why don't you draw a butterfly or something on this piece of wood and we'll cut it out, we'll sand it, you can paint it, and give it to her. Right?
Oh, arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts. With power tools.
And it's always nice to get something someone made for you.
It is a stupid present. Play the whole thing. So I'm cutting it, and I don't have, like, what do they call table, like the saw, what do they call horses, you know? Where you're
supposed sawhorses.
Sawhorses. Yeah. I don't have that. So I'm using the saw on those wooden steps that lead to the door of my garage.
That would not be appropriate.
And I'm cutting in. I'm doing fine. Everything's great. And then I, like, look to my left to see what she's doing. And I'm cutting it. Next thing I know, I cut a step in half. Boy.
Well, you know.
You're pretty dumb sometimes.
I'm totally stupid, but it was fun. It was, I don't know. I like messing around with power tools. It's pretty good.
So,
that may have sounded bad. You're not going to podcast that, are you?
You had mentioned Wendy Williams.
Yes. Yes, I did. And the reason I mentioned her is because she just was talking about, I get so annoyed sometimes with these people that keep coming up because of their associations, which it didn't seem it was this easy to be in the news years ago. Okay, boomer. But like Tyga, for example. What has Tyga done? Does he really have music that people love?
He nailed the Kardashian for a long time.
Okay,
that's probably what he's best known for.
Just because you made friction with a hot chick did not keep you in the public eye for a decade. But it seems to me he's doing nothing musically of any interest, is he?
No.
Okay. So last I read, he had a number of cars repossessed because he doesn't have any money and he is not with a Kardashian anymore. And he insists on leasing like Rolls Royces and stuff like that. And the list of cars that were repossessed were ridiculous. It's like Lamborghini and Rolls Royce.
Nothing but the best for Tyga.
Exactly. And he owed $80,000 on this one, $120,000. It's like you can buy 3 cars for that amount of money. Why does this guy just buy one car and
Tyga,
stop?
You can't be rolling up in a Camry.
I know. Well, that is kind of funny to think about how painful that would be. So she's talking about Tyga, and he's being sued by a landlord for $200,000.
That's a great name.
Because he was not only renting this beautiful house, but he wasn't paying the rent, and he also damaged the house quite a bit. So Tyga, of course, when the story comes out, says, look at these pictures. This place is in great shape. And so the landlord, who did not want to be public with this, just simply said, those are not the pictures when he moved out. And if we have to, we will show you the pictures when he moved out, because they didn't look anything like that. So anyway, she's talking about that story. And then she gets to Blac Chyna because, well, Blac Chyna and Tyga, they have the Kardashian connection, because Blac Chyna was, she birthed a child that was allegedly made with the help of Rob Kardashian's penis.
Chyna!
So, Wendy Williams says that Blac Chyna has been texting her fairly often, saying that she has no place to live. In other words, I guess hoping that she will provide her a place to live.
Does she still have custody of Dream?
Yes, she does. She has Dream and what's Tyga's kid's name?
I don't know.
She has a 7-year-old with Tyga.
Stormy?
No, that's one of the...
King Caro. Right. Yeah.
What's the kid's name?
The kid's name is King Caro.
Oh, God.
Stupid name.
That's so stupid.
And by the way, Tyga's name is Mike. Mike Stevenson.
Well, you know, whenever I think of Blac Chyna and her two brats, the one brat, of course, is the one that was at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
With her and her security guard and some,
Disneyland.
You know, she had an au pair or someone pushing the kid, and someone said, oh, how beautiful your kid is. And then I guess she asked whoever was pushing the stroller, oh, can I touch her? Or can I get up close or something? Anyway, she got too close for Blac Chyna's taste, and Blac Chyna slugged her. And then, remember, she threw the carriage at her?
Yeah, the stroller. It's pretty smart. Good move.
She is such an absolute moron. I cannot imagine how this girl generates this much commerce, but apparently she doesn't, because Wendy said not only does she text her all the time saying she needs a place to live, but Wendy said that the emails or texts or whatever, I guess they're emails, don't say, "Dear Wendy." So she thought it was like a almost like a form letter, like she's sending everyone in her phone, "Hey, I need a place to live."
Oh,
hoping
okay.
that someone responds.
It's a pretty heady move. I like it.
Yeah, actually, it kind of is.
Smart.
But she was, the weird thing about this is until very recently, she was getting $20,000 a month from Rob Kardashian.
Yeah.
And then Rob Kardashian, I forgot what happened. He had psychological problems or something, and he sort of left the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to court and said, "I don't know why I'm paying her $20,000, because not only am I not making any money, but I was sending her $20,000 a month, and I wasn't making any money then either." So the judge, I guess, didn't take long and said, "No, this is a 50-50 custody, and it appears that there is no income here. So, no, you don't have to pay her anything."
Do you want to hear what Wendy said about it?
Yeah, sure.
Here's the clip from her show.
What?
Let me back it up a little.
Nope, didn't know that. And yeah, so that's King Cairo that he's...
I told you, wife trying to text me regularly, "Can you help me find a condo? I have no place to live."
What? Nope, didn't know that.
Wendy shocked herself by saying
China.
It.
She said she's not getting child support from either, from the payments were lowered from robbing. She said that Tyga
mother,
doesn't
single
help
mother
at all.
Of two, can I find her a place to live? And it was like random, like maybe she sent a blast to everybody that she knows. Because they say, like, "Dear Wendy." Yeah. I didn't answer it. I don't want to be involved.
I don't want to be involved.
Anyway, thank you so much. Kevin Simone,
that's
everybody.
It? Okay.
Why? Does Wendy have a partner now? Do you know?
No, that lady comes in. That's when after they do Hot Topics, which is Wendy riffing on the gossip and the entertainment. Yeah. They have that lady come in with new entertainment things to talk about.
Okay,
it's basically so Wendy doesn't have to do all the heavy lifting the whole show.
That was one of the weirdest shows I've ever seen in my life. With the one we listened to
awesome.
on the
she
air,
she was drunk.
So great.
She was. I don't know. Do you think really she was drunk?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
It sounded that way.
I think it was
I
drunk.
Didn't hear, did you hear slurring, though? I didn't really hear slurring.
I was going to say, it's a drunk person is very concerned with people finding out she's drunk. So every word.
Yeah, she was over-measuring her words.
Really,
that's
yeah.
true. So anyway, in doing a little homework on the Blac Chyna situation, I found this really fascinating. I was kind of deep diving on the, she has a lawsuit that she is really thinks she's going to make a lot of money on. Because Rob Kardashian posted a nude picture of the mother of his child.
Right. Yeah.
And was she blowing somebody?
I don't remember. But I remember that he posted, that got him kicked off Instagram.
Yeah. It was a very unflattering kind of thing to post of anyone, let alone the mother of your young child. And so she was suing him. And honestly, you know, and from what I was reading in some of these stories world, they were suggesting that, yeah, this has got to be actionable. How can you do that? Well, anyway, Rob Kardashian, his attorneys came up with the fact that she has also posted stuff. I think she posted a picture of herself giving someone a blowjob.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she did. She's posted herself nude.
Slut.
Or semi-nude. Doing sexual
kettle,
things. So they were kind of suggesting that, well, it's okay when she does it, so therefore it's okay when he does it. And I don't know that that's necessarily true, but it's apparently a very mitigating defense because she can't say she was damaged by it if she does it herself.
Yeah, here she is with a penis in her mouth.
There's a penis in her mouth. Is that a nipple ring?
Why can't I see it?
Oh, it's up. Oh, let me switch. I'm sorry. You should be able to see it there.
Oh, wow. Boy, that's a big nipple. I thought that was...
That is a massive areola.
Oh, my God. What? That's the biggest green blob possibly ever. Wait, she's got a green blob that's
too.
Like a championship belt.
Yeah.
Except bigger.
It is. It's like a wrestling championship belt.
Except it's bigger.
That's really funny.
I don't think I would want tons of nudes online.
I don't think I'd want a championship belt tattooed around me.
Really?
I don't think so.
I don't know. It's a big accomplishment.
Well, I like the belts, but I just think I'd want to take it off sometimes.
Oh,
God, those are the worst tattoos.
Yeah.
You know what I hate? And there was a girl on 90 Day Fiancé that had them. And I've seen a few girls like this. And I've seen guys like this, too. She has giant tattoos on the front of her thighs.
Yeah.
Giant ones, just the biggest green blobs. And I just thought when she was wearing shorts, it looked really stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, there's
why come you don't have a tattoo?
The good thing is you can hide it most of the time.
Yeah, if you're wearing long pants, but when most you're wearing shorts. I mean, isn't the idea of a tattoo is you want to show it off?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I thought
so
was.
Why would you put it there if you wanted people to see it? That is a weird place to put a tattoo. I just figured you're just running out of space.
Oh, my God. 90 Day Fiancé has been so good. I try to limit this topic because I realize a lot of people don't watch the show, but there is some great stuff going on. My favorite storyline right now is this girl in Ethiopia who is this little American princess who's, you know, mommy and daddy are very wealthy. And so I think I talked about her before. She was surprised.
Is it Ariella?
Yeah, Ariella. Yeah.
Binium?
Yeah, Binium.
The great names.
And the, you know, we should play it actually.
All right.
Pull up 90 Day Fiancé from last night. Her parents are so fucking rude and patronizing to this Ethiopian guy. It made me mad, honestly.
So this is regular 90, he's coming here?
No, she lives there. This is 90 Day Fiancé other way. Just look for last night.
Not happily ever after?
No. It'd be the most recent one probably from last night.
The other way.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I cannot believe the audacity her parents have. They're like bugging him about, how much money do you make? Because, you know, our grandchild has to live up to a certain standard.
What do they care? Isn't she going to be in Ethiopia?
No, the grandchild has to live up to their standards that, you know, their daughter had. They have standards for their daughter and their grandchild, and so he's responsible for providing them. And I think if he doesn't provide them, then they have to step in and fix it.
How old is Ariella? Yeah, whatever.
She's 25, I think.
Well, if she's raised right, trust her to make those decisions.
Oh, you've got Pillow Talk, which is where all the other people from the other show talk about all the shit that, I mean, I know.
Never has there been more spinoffs on a show than 90 Day Fiancé.
I think his show's pretty popular, honestly.
Well, yeah, there's 15 versions of it.
I know. It is hard to find the show you want. Oh, God, that girl is so annoying.
She's not bad looking, this girl.
And she flops.
Ariella's?
Yeah.
She flops her tit out to breastfeed anywhere in front of anyone.
Nice.
If her baby wants her tit, that thing is coming out.
Is it not on my watch? Is that it?
Yeah, that's probably it.
Is it the same episode where Kenny and Armando fight for the right to marry?
Yes, they do. And Kenny is
Got milk? As if that's a real thing.
Kenny is the 58-year-old American guy who fell for this 31-year-old Mexican guy. And
oh, two dudes?
Yeah, two dudes. Okay.
Who's that old bird?
That's another great story. This is a great show. That's Sumit and his... 62-year-old American girlfriend. Okay, there.
We already went. Yeah, we talked about Sumit.
Yeah, Sumit and his old bag American girlfriend.
This girl's kind of cute, Ariel.
She is kind of cute, but oh my God, is she so not worth it?
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, you can get over her so fast.
What are you doing?
No, just I'm doing my hair.
Can you come here?
Terrible voice.
Are you tired?
Oh, fast forward to her parents, because her parents, when they come into play, things really start happening.
Is this them?
Let me see.
Do they go to Addis Ababa?
What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, that's them. That's her parents.
Looks like a nice place.
You miss me?
Yeah, no, okay, here's the thing. When her mother first went over while she was pregnant, because mom went over to make sure that Ethiopia has hospitals.
God, are you shitting me?
And her mom's a nurse, so she had to inspect the hospital.
Why?
And she's like, well, I'm very impressed. I thought that, you know, they would just have a tub or something.
And all right, well, I'll defend her because, I mean, how old is the mom?
The mom's probably 60.
Oh, that old? Okay.
Probably 60 years old. I mean, Abby's 25.
You know, my age, I think, was really warped about what Ethiopia was because of USA
for Africa.
Africa. We just assumed everybody was hungry and they were eating dirt.
It's Geldof's fault.
It kind of is.
Yeah, and we thought there were flies just all over these little black kids with bloated stomachs.
But Addis Ababa is a city of 3 million inhabitants. So it's going to have hospitals.
So she goes over there to make sure the hospital, you know, has actual doctors.
How big is your city?
And then she decides, because Avi, her mother, her parents say, you know, you really ought to give birth in America because we have better medical facilities.
USA,
number one. And Avi's like, but no, I have to be with my boyfriend. I can't give birth. And so as soon as mom leaves, she's like,
I feel so lonely. I wish I was home. I
don't
have
if you don't love it, leave it. USA, number one.
And then shortly after that, and she's the one, too, that when they go shopping, like, for the car, and they go, yeah, used car, this is a 2003 Ford Focus, and it'll be like $30,000. She's like,
$30,000 in America, this would be like, blah, blah.
I mean, she has to bitch about everything because it would be cheaper in America, but it's like, that's the way it is, honey. You chose it, and too bad. But she has to be a big
bitch.
If you
don't love it, leave it. USA,
number one. Hell yeah. So this poor guy, he gets this place he can barely afford. He fixes it up, and the mother-in-law, comes in to inspect it, and she's like, no, this isn't going to do. No, no, no. He's like, well, I have to do a lot of work. I want to fix this up. I'm going to fix up the bathroom. And she's like, no, not going to do it. So he gets this place that he declares, this is the nicest place I've ever lived. This is like a palace to me. And it is. It's a lot nicer. And when mom and dad come over on this episode, they declare that, no, this place is not good enough. We got to upgrade from here. So this poor fucking guy.
How sucks.
Who's rude.
Oh, no, it's so patronizing. It's unbelievable. And this fucking guy is working like 80 hours a week. He's really a good guy. And he does. There's a little controversy because you'll love this because he wants the kid baptized. And she declares that she was just pushed into it. She really just didn't want to think about what it meant because he just wanted it so much. And the parents are like,
wasn't that one of the shithole countries? I can't remember if that was on the list or not.
Anyway, the mother, I believe the mother's Jewish.
Okay.
She's not too crazy about this whole baptism thing, and she just can't quite bite her tongue. Wait, so
she doesn't want him to be baptized into...
Not until whatever they do over there. Just play it.
Jewish.
Trust me. This is really good.
Parents, I don't want to fight.
Yeah, I don't want to fight today.
It's like begging her, please just make me look good in front of your parents.
Yeah.
All Benny and I do these days is fight, and I really want to get past this because I do love him and I want us to stay together and be a family.
Ew.
Are you ready?
I have my baby's doing it.
I'm ready.
Yeah, boy.
I don't want my parents to think that we're not a good match. It's important that Benny and my family get along, so I don't want to do anything.
I admire his clothing choice to meet her parents.
Yeah, camo.
Camo, all sweatpants, camo. And sweatshirt. Wait, why not?
He's a fairly styling guy, actually. I like this guy.
I want to show you, like, as a neighborhood.
See the country a little bit?
Good, guys.
Un-American.
Can you pause for a second?
Yes.
He's very proud Ethiopian.
Sure.
And you know, he's entitled to his pride. Why not? And so this becomes a problem when, for example... He wants to buy a live chicken to cook so they can have chicken, you know, okay. And it's sort of a thing, I guess, when you visit, but that doesn't go over too well, as you'll see.
Do the Jews have large talons?
Just a country.
ትላንትና ማታ ትቻቸው ስራ ስለሄድኩኝ አሁን ደግሞ አሪን ደግሞ ያው መካስ ፈልጋለሁ አብራቻቸው ጊዜ አሳልፌ
What's he saying? Can you translate?
It's on the screen. I want our parents to be happy.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Cute
he wants
kid,
to be happy
man.
With him living there in Ethiopia.
That's a cute little baby.
And the difference between my lifestyle and theirs is pretty big.
Oh, you think so? And apparently her parents are his.
That's their houses, yeah.
With the barbed wire and stuff?
Yeah, these are people's homes.
That's foreign to me.
Come on, your house sucks.
I am surprised.
Does he not have Google?
They have no concept of how this might make him feel, by the way.
He didn't think about Googling this stuff before he went over there?
No, neither did the child.
Not terribly resourceful.
They're the chickens.
Is this what you imagined when you thought of the capital city of Ethiopia?
No. It shows my lack of world travel. Everything just looks so beaten up. I didn't expect Ethiopia to be as underdeveloped.
What?
You know, I worry about day-to-day life. When you look on the roads, where does my grandson play? Does he play in the street?
Too bad you're not a rocker, he'd know.
We can buy here, and there's someone he's carrying, and then he will give you, like, plastic, and then we can eat it just like that.
Chicken.
When in Rome, old man. $14 for a whole chicken.
Yeah, this is.
You get it at Costco for $5 and it's cooked. your chicken's running away.
My mom says you gotta wash your hands before you touch Avi again.
That's it. Absolutely non-negotiable.
Shut
the
fuck up. Is he
killing the chicken?
No, don't upset me.
No, my mom would be very upset. Don't kill the chicken.
No, he's doing it, Ari.
No, baby, not later, not ever, no, not. Every time he takes dinner, like, tomorrow, something.
Yes. Let's do something different.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Grandma.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How do they think they get their chicken here?
I don't know.
But
I'm trying to make a good impression, he says.
It's really rude.
Because I want to show off the culture.
I mean, I get it. It's different. It's a little weird, but can you suck it up for your kid?
He says, I was so embarrassed.
So tell me, what things have changed since I was here last? How are you?
Living here is a lot more difficult than I thought it would be. It was, you know, it was she really cool Google when either. I was visiting, but it's totally different now that I'm living here because...
She probably doesn't go to work if they're out of power.
And I spend most of my time in the house. I thought baby would be home more. He's always out of the house.
You gotta take her out once in a while.
Yeah, if she wants.
She's not a homebody.
And he always gets a phone call 2 minutes before he goes and he's like, gotta go, bye. And I have no idea where he's going, what's going on.
So is that common in the culture here? When the guys go to work, they just walk out the door?
Pause for a second.
I don't understand that question. He goes to work?
She claims that... Well, the phone comes in. He says, "Yeah, I'll be there in 2 minutes," and then he just leaves because he works. Well, one of his jobs is in entertainment, and he has a couple of. He has three jobs.
Wow!
So this guy is constantly working, and she's bitching that I'm just not going home all the time with the baby. I didn't think it'd be like this. I mean, I thought the baby could take care of itself.
Do her parents have a shitload of money? She's just spoiled.
Yeah, they're doctors.
They're doctors.
Her dad's a doctor.
Yeah, she's spoiled, shitless, and
doctors.
And okay, he begged her beforehand because she did this with her mother when she was there. Please, can't we just get along around your parents and we can figure it out later? But no, she has to say, yeah, he gets phone calls and then he just leaves. He just leaves me alone. I'm at home all alone and I didn't think it'd be like this. And then the whole thing with the chicken, which, by the way, she has eaten chicken because that's how they do it there. And the first time it kind of freaked her out and then I think she's okay. But she didn't want her parents to have to see the horror of how we get chicken. But the most condescending thing in all of this is, yeah, my mom says you have to wash your hands before you touch Avi again. And she's like, yes, that is non-negotiable. It's like,
we've died chicken.
Suck it, Grandma. Just suck it.
My daughter married a black boy, and wasn't much I could do about it, huh?
Their wife first?
In the culture, because just wife, she knows he have a job. He don't have to tell her, like, baby, I have to go, like, something just like that. He doesn't have to.
Yeah, but
to,
I'm
like,
American, baby. You gotta tell me everything.
Of course I'll tell you.
We're not like that. We like to know ahead of time.
I don't know. It's very difficult.
Yeah, your country's full of shit, basically.
I've been having with Binny off my chest, but I do feel a little bit guilty about telling my parents because I promised Binny that I wouldn't talk about our problems with other people.
Do you think you're understanding better what Ari's expectations are?
No, of course, it's better like before. I tell her like my family is important.
I think the truth is that being from a different culture is like pushing against the tide. Culturally, I can try to get Vinny to understand me, and I can try to do things.
No, you're spoiled, the way bitch. I want in my Stop house, telling on him to your parents.
Nice wanting him to change to your culture, but you not to his when you're living in his country.
I mean, this is one of the most different cultures that I've ever experienced.
Oh, how many have you lived
culture.
In?
You have to communicate, number one.
Yeah. If people know where you're coming from, they can handle a lot more.
Yes,
suck it,
I
Grandpa.
I have to work at it, you have to
nice
work
advice.
At it. But you're more open of letting Ari know what's going on. She can handle anything.
And support you in all this stuff.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit she could do better, too.
Communicating
Let's talk
better.
About that.
If they don't communicate better, they're heading for big, big trouble.
Do what now?
It's getting dark, and it's time for the baby to go home.
Sounds good. Yes. Sounds like a plan. Yes.
My daughter married a black boy, and wasn't much I could do about it, huh?
How are you?
That baby's ugly. Oh.
That is cool.
Who's that? You want to fast forward? That's Yazan. He's in Jordan, and
he's talked about them.
Yeah, his father's about to murder him for being into this American girl who posts these semi-nude pictures in America.
Once again, maybe learn about the culture.
Kicked out of the house, and yeah, his dad has threatened to kill him.
Yeah, that's a measured response. Yeah,
it's a little strong, I thought. And she's just jerking him around, basically.
God, so many people love to control other people.
Yeah, in Ethiopia and also in this country, the male is held in significantly higher esteem.
Yeah, I mean,
significantly,
clearly.
And that's what. Oh, that guy's in Colombia. He nice. Medellin, actually, and he is with a super hot chick.
Well, yeah, that's a funny story, man. A Colombian five's like a 10 everywhere else in the world.
When you get back to Avi, pause and I'll explain that story because it's pretty funny. Here we go. Oh boy, this is awful.
Because I didn't want to sour their opinion of him. I want to show them that we're really trying to build our lives together and be a family.
That's monotone.
The bags of the stuff that I brought you. Wow. Let's see what I got you.
Yeah. I don't know where we'll put it, but today we're taking them to see our apartment.
Oh,
she sounds like the girl.
I'm nervous. Yeah. Gonna
she sounds like this girl.
I'm going to hold off on marriage till I find out what this polyamorous stuff is about.
Oh, here's the apartment. Here we go. Okay.
It's a nice place, by the way.
Okay.
For Ethiopia, it's awesome.
I've gone through a lot with Ari to get this home. I think it's luxurious. He's saying it's big for me, but for them, they're probably going to hate it.
Is that the whole refrigerator?
Yes.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's
okay,
pretty small.
Then. I'm already freaking out.
Hey, I have noticed this.
How about nice first comment? Is that the whole refrigerator?
Yeah, you know why? Because they go out and buy a live chicken on the street and kill it and eat it for dinner. They don't have to store a 20-pound bag of chicken breasts. No, but I've noticed this with a lot of homes in the Middle East. They don't hide cords in the wall.
No, they're not real big on that.
Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of they're not that far along design flaw wise.
Is that me being terribly anal? That it's like, well, it's not that high, Dill. You know,
I think they have other
kind of
issues.
Hole there and
come first.
Oh, okay.
Just saying.
I know, but it's not that. Like, look at that cord right there.
I know.
And why is the plug 6 feet up on the wall?
That's really dumb. I will say. If they don't like this home, I don't know what I will do.
So it was just the two of you, and I know most of your clothes haven't made their way here yet. I brought some. But, you know, once we unload a lot of the stuff that we brought here for you to have for the baby, there's not going to be any space to walk. I'm not trying to be insulting, but I think that
you are.
You need a bigger apartment.
He just
you know,
got a bigger apartment,
so looking
bitch.
For apartments was really difficult. I understand. Absolutely. Compared to what Binion had showed us, this was like
much better.
The palace. So now it's time to move on to a better place for Avi to be raised. It'd be nice to have like enough
there?
Space for all of you.
Yeah.
The guest house that they have is small. It's very small. Now they're a family of three. The space will be even smaller.
It just doesn't fit the
requirements. That guy's a doctor.
That we expect for our daughter and our grandson.
Oh!
I think the perfect place for you guys would be someplace where you and the baby could go out. Maybe there's a little
like
garden.
Like in America! Just
be out of the apartment.
Oh, yeah, a little garden.
Nice apartments like that is that they're really expensive because of all these expats that live here and drive up the prices.
We really could help you if we knew what kind of money you're making.
Uh-huh.
You know, Binyam's working. We don't know how he gets paid. You know, whether
it's none of your
every
business.
Time he does a performance, he gets paid.
Yeah, I mean, like, it depends. Like,
do you get paid every time you work? Or you don't always get
yeah,
paid?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
this
every
is the
time
part
when
I'm confused
yeah, every
about.
Time when I work, I can get, like, something. Sometimes, like, I can get, like, $500. Sometimes I can get, like, $400. Like, depends.
I mean, that's an uncomfortable position, to be in. You know, 1 week, 1 month, you make a lot, and 1 month you make zero.
Yeah, fuck face.
Thanks,
Jesus. He works three jobs.
That you can do to make money every month to support you.
I wish I could have answered for him. I was yelling at the TV so much.
Yeah, but he's trying to. He's just supposed to be his
in-laws. I know, I feel so bad for him.
Singing in the, for dancing. I'm working there.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the reasons he hasn't gone back to work full time at the club because that would be 6 days a week because I really needed help with the. I need help with the baby. So.
Boy, life sounds like a lot of fun for him.
I hope my parents understand. Binyam is an artist, and I 100% support him pursuing his dreams. but sometimes artists don't make that much money. So I think my parents are definitely concerned about him being able to support.
Well, it's none of their fucking business. Yeah. So why don't you tell them to butt out?
On us forever, and we don't want you to. You're going to need to have a full-time permanent job that gives you money every month to pay the rent and your car and your food and everything.
How does he
else.
Not stab her?
Yeah. It's a bit scary in terms
of
finances.
Here's some more wisdom.
Vinny seems to have a lot of talent, and hopefully he'll be very successful.
Man, I just wish you would dick slap this old bird.
And they have to be number one. Right now, he needs to make enough money to meet the basic necessities. And I didn't get a good sense of that.
All about money for things.
Oh, God. Okay, there's one more. The best one is yet to come. Are you amused by these? Or
Tell me if it's too boring. It is. I just hate them. I know.
It's probably not the most entertaining, but it just blew my mind. Anyway, okay, when you get to them, pause, because I got to tell you what's going on with this Colombian guy. Well, he's not Colombian. He's from California, I believe. And he meets this girl from Medellin.
Yeah.
And she's smoking hot. And he's kind of I don't want to call him a schlub, but he's got a great job.
Yeah.
He can't work in Medellin because he's not married to her. So they have this long distance thing. He's making good money at his computer job. And I guess his plan is that she's going to move there. And they'll live happily ever after.
Is that them?
No, that's the girl, that's Jehoon and the girl from Nevada.
I love that you know all their names. Because they're not easy names to keep track
June's of. From South Korea. That's another debacle.
That's an interesting looking couple.
Yeah. Oh, man, he's just a load. Oh, my God, he's a major liar. It's kind of a problem when you're married to a liar.
I think.
I mean, this guy tells whoppers. But anyway, the guy from America, she's going to move over, but I think she's sort of finishing college or something. Anyway, what happens is he fucks up and he nails some chick. Yeah. And I don't know if he admitted it or she figured it out or what happened. I think it was like an indiscretion, like a one-time thing.
Okay.
And she finds out, and so it's like, you know, all hell breaks loose.
My
and
God,
so he tries to repair it, and he goes to therapy, and he just tries to do everything he can to fix it, and then...
Is that the Colombian girl?
That's him. That's the dude.
Go to therapy and figure it
out.
Yeah,
there she is.
She's really cute.
Yeah, she's really hot.
Total spinner,
she's
too.
So hot. Yeah, I know. That's,
good job,
you
my
could
man.
Be an American schlub. If you got a little money, you can land yourself a cute little Colombian chick. But it's a lot of work. Because he fucked up. So then she's like, I'm not going to America because, you know, you cheated on me. I don't trust you. And so
you're lost, honey.
So he says, yeah, he can land another Colombian chick. But he really does dig her. I mean, he's not a bad guy. I'll vouch for him a little bit. So anyway, he goes down there and her mother just will not even look at him. It's like, oh, you told your mother? Yeah, I had to tell my mother. And she's very mad at you. And the interviewer, and his mother's like, I think it's over. Fuck him. So then she declares that he has to tell the father. So they're having, and the father loves this guy. So they're out to eat, and he goes, yeah, there's something I have to tell you. I'm really sorry, but I nailed this chick while I was in America, and I'm really sorry. And,
it doesn't count.
And the father's like, well, it's over.
Really?
Yeah, he just says, it's over. Like, you'll never recover from this, and, you know, fuck you. So... They have their apartment. They're moving along. They're going to therapy. They're trying to get along. And then she reveals that, after you nailed that chick, I dated a little bit because I was so angry. And he's like, well, did you have sex with someone?
With tons
she's like, I'm not going to answer that question. It's not important. You cheated on me. And, you know, I responded. And, and now we're back together. And he's like, no, did you sleep with somebody? And she's like, well, yeah, I did. I was sleeping with this one guy. So this guy's like, well, wait a second. You never told me this.
Yeah, that's not fair.
So then his mother's coming to visit. And this to me was like, okay, is this a Gen Z thing? It feels like a Gen Z thing to me because I think he's 25. He's a young millennial if he's a millennial at all. But he goes, well, you know, I'm going to have to tell my mom this when she comes down, and I don't know how she's going to respond.
Yeah. Tit for tat, like, my man.
Wait, why would you tell your mother this?
Oh, because she told her mom.
I know. Well, that's true.
I don't think he was really going to, was he?
He did. He did tell his mother when she got there. But the funny thing was, the Colombian girl was like, well, I don't see why I need to bring your mother into this. Because you cheated on me, and I was in a weird place. So it's not the same thing. And he's like, no. My mother's going to have to know. She's like, what the fuck? Why do these, does everyone who's 25 tell their parents everything?
Sounds like it.
Why? I don't think their parents want to know this shit.
I think a lot of them do, probably, because they're best friends.
Oh, I forgot.
They're all
that.
Best friends.
I don't know. I just thought that was such a bad idea on both parts. If nothing else, telling his mom was just stupid. It's like, it's just tit for tat. But it was fun, interesting that she didn't feel that he needed to know that. Okay, here we go. This is okay.
Should I go back?
Yeah, get back it up.
So is that his mom in the middle there?
That's his sisters.
Okay.
And, you know, they're very, very proud Ethiopians. Yeah. And they've been really sweet to Ari.
Yeah.
Except also a little bossy at times, like, yeah, we got to get the baby baptized. She's like, well, I'm going to get the baby baptized. Yeah, and then he wanted to get the baby circumcised. She's like, well, I don't know if I want to get the baby circumcised. I mean, she doesn't want to do anything, I think, until her parents say it's okay.
Well, it's a new baby.
For Avi.
Avi?
They're going to be laughing in a minute.
So how are these guys doing with the baby?
They're trying.
So I have a question for you guys, too. Do you remember the last time we were talking about them not communicating well?
Christ.
How's that going? What do you think? How are we doing?
Pause for a second. So that was her mom, right?
Yeah, her mom.
Why is that a topic?
I have no idea. But the funniest part of this is mom thinks that they're going to go, oh, yeah, you know, he's very poor communicator. He needs to do better. And no, they do the opposite. They basically rag on her.
Good job,
which,
mom.
Which
shocks
them.
How about beating around this bush with that uncircumcised dick?
And still.
Heads
my
up.
Guy, my little guy.
He needs a blanket.
Where's
clothes.
The blanket?
Quiet.
Where's the blanket? Just put it around. Mom's gonna.
Well, you know, we're having some difficulty because I'm stuck at home alone, you know, and I'm wondering what is he doing when he's been out all day. Maybe it's like a cultural thing that he doesn't have to explain things
no,
to me.
No, he's working,
but
dumb fuck.
I'm not happy about it.
In my culture, it's weird if a woman shouts at a man.
And if your husband does something that bothers you, you just let him go and he does whatever he wants?
No, you don't. You just go to his parents, you talk to them, and also you can't talk. You don't. But
like,
Ari, she just freaks out. Like, she just shouts in the
street,
and people be like she's a white girl. And
like, she were like, so she wanted to like to act like bossy, like something just.
Wow.
That's racist.
This isn't sounding so good here.
Yeah, your daughter's a bitch.
Listening to my sister speaking about Ari's temper. I think there's two sides to every story.
Yeah, there's her side and your side.
At times to fly off the handle, but many times she has a reason for it.
Oh my
Knowing
God.
My daughter like I do, this doesn't seem to me to be the kind of culture that Ari will thrive in.
No, not a cunt like her.
Because you guys let her just fly off the handle without any repercussions.
That I'm here alone, you know, I'm not with it. I don't have my family. A lot of times I'm stressed out. My whole life is different. And
I'm stressed out. Jesus
you have
Christ.
To calm down.
Oh.
She have to control her feeling. She just treat him like a baby, like 10 years old baby. Like, come here. Like, go out. Come back. Like,
she's really, she's very bossy.
But like, once he don't have a patient, he will go forever.
And when they accept their second class status, his sisters do.
Not to bring up another controversy, but we're talking
but
about
I'm going
all this.
To.
Have you discussed how you're going to raise the baby? You know, because when Dad and I, since we're different faiths, my grandmothers and my mother wanted Ari to be baptized, and we had promised his father and mother that she would go to Hebrew school and learn the Jewish religion, and I had a lot of trouble with that because I wanted her to be baptized.
We're happy the baby is baptized.
I didn't tell them yet, so I was about to tell them.
What are you telling us then?
I agree. Baby asked me, he said the one thing that he really wants is really important and really important to your family is that we baptize the baby.
That's true.
So I justified it to myself. You're just going to put him in some water and, you know, it's nice. Everyone's going to have a party for him, you know, so I just don't want to analyze it too much.
Jesus.
Because of what it really means.
Yeah, nice minimizing the, nice minimizing the baptism.
When you baptize them, they're baptized into that faith, usually.
God's like, don't drag me into this.
He is going to be baptized. Is a true shock.
A shock.
But I thought, having spoken to Ari, that Abby would be brought up Jewish.
So far, everything to this guy is a shock.
She's being forced upon. It certainly would not have come from her.
No, such a horrible religious move.
And, you know, I don't shock very easily, but...
You were just shocked in the car ride at the home. What are you talking about, dude?
He came to me basically crying and asked me, crying. Please, this crying. Is so important for me.
Yeah, it's very important
and,
for me.
And you know what? Honestly, I don't know if it's that important for you. I feel like it's you guys who really put pressure on him to...
Oh, the sisters.
Oh, nice attacking the sisters.
This is important. This is our religion. He must be baptized and also our culture. So I don't know why not you change your mind. For the baby, it is a mess.
Isn't it basically like he really wants his baby to be baptized?
Yes.
And she doesn't really care, so why not?
Yep.
If you don't baptize,
The baby goes to hell.
Baby goes to hell. You don't want that.
I don't like this idea of hell. You're bad. You're going to hell. That's really important. I don't want hell in his life. And I told you, if I catch you doing that, that would be one of the reasons that I
living in Ethiopia, am I right? Right, Dad?
You act like he's eggs now, I swear.
That's really You're going to let your sister talk to me like this?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, we're not disrespecting.
Yeah, they're adults, and so are you. Act like one.
Oh, he's so
spending
bummed.
Time with Binyam's
I'm bummed for him, to tell you the
like
truth.
They're giving 100% of their support to Binyam. Ari needs a little more support from them so that Ari will have someone here that she can go to and talk to.
Yeah, she's really stressed out, too.
This is pretty one-sided.
So you better
right
move
now.
There. Pretty one-sided. Yeah, you've been giving him
you
shit all day,
like
lady.
Us? Their relationship between them?
Very much so. This doesn't look easy, you know, And I'm not taking any bets on this. I don't know.
Oh, that's nice.
Fuck does that mean?
They doesn't believe in this marriage. Doesn't believe it's going to work.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
I'm not taking any bets on this.
I hope this works out between Ari and Binyam. They do appear to be in love. They do appear to want to make life together. Will that happen? There's a lot of uncertainty here.
Thanks for your support, Dick.
Am I allowed to be worried? Absolutely. But hopefully love... can win out.
Oh my God, that guy's the worst.
Ugh. I'm telling you, Binyam, just dick slap him.
That's good. I like that.
What'd she say?
Prove us wrong.
Oh, prove him wrong?
Oh, prove him wrong. Oh, fuck you.
Yes,
he doesn't have to prove anything.
Oh my God, I know. What a fucking... Oh, her parents, I just want to kill them! But then I was thinking, is that like how 20-year-olds act now? 25-year-olds? Do they tell their parents
title?
Everything?
Oh, yeah.
And the parents go to bat for each child, and so everyone can fight instead of just the two married people. I don't know. It just looked really miserable to me.
That sucks. I feel bad for that dude.
Oh, God.
Get out. Get out while you can, my man.
I'm telling you, it was really hurting me. I was just feeling it.
Brandon, you had her Instagram up. Are they still together? Spoiler alert, Drew. I don't know if they are or aren't.
I'll accept it.
You know, as of last week, it looks like it.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
She's the worst. Oh, man.
And she's not that hot. I'm like you, Mark. I thought she was pretty at first. But then after you hear her yap, and then when you meet her parents, it's like she gets grosser and grosser with every word.
Okay.
She's so annoying.
Are you up for seeing another clip of something?
What's a clip of?
So Chris sent an email in, and I had seen the show. I never watched it, though. But he said, I was watching HBO on Friday night and stumbled across a show called How To with John Wilson. Never heard of it before. By the way, the host of the show is really weird. It's just an odd show. But he said, I never heard of it before, but in the episode How to Cover Your Furniture, there's a guy who invented a device to restore foreskin.
Why is that in How to Cover Furniture?
I think How to Cover Furniture is kind of a starting point for him to go.
How to do something else. How to do anything.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. But he says, and boy, does he really show you how it works?
Uh-oh.
So do you I could envelop the entire doorknob with my foreskin.
Should we call Jonah Falcon to bring him into
maybe
this?
So here's this John Wilson, and this is why he stumbled across the whole foreskin thing, because he's out on the
street.
Can
I see it on one of the TVs?
You boys circumcised? Or you got those hippie wieners?
I don't think this is going to duplicate it. Shit. You know what? Yeah, I'll pull it up on here. Hang on.
Well, while you're making that come up, there were some other entertainment news. Dick Clark Productions has purchased the catalog of Taylor Swift.
Oh, really?
Yes, from Scooter Braun.
So are all the Swifties mad then?
No, Taylor's the maddest. Taylor's mad. It affects
her
none.
Recording them all anyway.
She hates Scooter Braun. So why is she mad at him for selling it? And I'm like, wait, why are you mad at him for selling it? You're mad at him for buying it.
Yeah.
She had every opportunity to buy the catalog. She's bitched nonstop about claiming that she can't sing her songs anymore, which is a fucking lie.
Total
bullshit. And so this guy, Scooter Braun, it sounded to me like he just wanted out because she has 150 followers, 150 million followers. And, you know, his wife's getting death threats and getting harassed, and he's getting it. And they had to shut down the business a couple days. It was so bad because of all the doxing that they had to literally
Let's say that I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay?
They had to shut his company down for a couple days. So, anyway, he's like, you know, she had a chance to buy it. I paid market price for it. I don't understand what the hell's going on here. And then she claimed that he bullied her and all this stuff. She also says that Scooter Braun bought this catalog with George Soros.
How did
George Soros get mixed up with
this? Is that true?
I don't know. I'm really confused because today I was reading some quotes of hers about George Soros and the Carlyle Group.
Yeah.
And how she doesn't want them involved with her music. She doesn't want Scooter Braun involved in her music.
She is high maintenance, man.
And I don't even... Is George Soros really... Does George Soros buy his music? He's in the music publishing business?
He's an investor.
George Soros... Anyway, one of her quotes was, the person who, like, bought my art, he's never even made any art in his life, so he doesn't understand what it's like. So apparently someone who makes art has to buy her music for it to work out.
Well, and then, why didn't she just buy it?
And then she said something about how Scooter Braun is toxic male masculinity. I will never forget it. Like, ever.
Yeah,
that's a quote.
Clearly. Oh, she's...
Yeah, like ever. That's ever. A quote. Yep. And Scooter Braun said, it just sounded like he's relieved to be out. He got his three. He got basically what he put in out. I don't think he made money off it. Because he paid it.
What did he pay? Because I thought I saw he sold it for $300.
He did. He sold it for $300, but they made it sound like her catalog was worth about $300. I think he paid $330. He got other things, but the catalog was what they wanted.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he may have made some money on it. I just don't think it's quite the... You know, she's re-recording all the songs anyway, so...
He paid between $300 and $350 for it.
Well, I guess he's selling it for $300.
Yeah,
so
he probably just wants to be done with it because she's been.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah,
I just thought it was
this
silly.
One says $330.
And she, by the way, did you happen to see that she and Rolling Stone is doing the musicians interviewing musicians? And so she interviewed Paul McCartney, and he interviewed her.
Yeah, that's great. Hopefully, she'll join him on stage one of these days.
Oh, did you hear that?
No, is that real?
He said that he would love to have her on stage at Glastonbury, but. He's supposed to headline.
Yeah.
Was it Glastonbury or maybe it's one of the giant festivals over there. So anyway, it's this summer, so it didn't happen. But anyway, he said he wanted to play Shake It Off with her.
Oh my God.
It's like, wow, Shake It Off.
Cool old man.
But I mean, I don't know what song you're going to pick out of hers that would really work. He just said, I know it's in C.
I know it's in C.
Did she ask him about Michael Jackson buying his catalog?
Oh.
I don't know if she did or not. That'd be a great question.
They're both ripped off by other people.
I don't think they were looking to get into ugliness. I think it was pretty nicey-nice.
Everyone's stealing my music.
And one other thing, Megan Thee Stallion, now only did Tory Lanez shoot her in both feet, and he has been charged.
Yeah.
She told GQ that he offered her money to shut up.
What?
Yeah, he offered her money shortly after this happened.
Yeah, I
could see that happening.
She doesn't need his money.
No, she doesn't. And she said it never got as far as an amount because she was like, fuck you. and fuck you.
Good for her. I'm starting to like her.
I'm starting to like her, too.
All that Cardi B's rubbing off on her.
I just have this feeling that this guy... this guy will not do 1 second in jail for shooting her.
No,
But how do you shoot someone, your girlfriend? You shoot your girlfriend in both feet, and you don't go to jail. That's
step one is to put out a lot of music that people like, true. And then step two is to fire the gun.
Well, I mean, I understand that he's a rapper, so he can shoot almost anyone, and it's good for his career. But your girlfriend, the law usually, and plus we are in this Me Too thing, and I just didn't know that it translated to the courtroom as well, but I guess it does.
He's got the music shield. Two other music things. You see Chris Brown has joined OnlyFans.
So Chris Brown?
Yes, so I guess he's going to be showing his dick off there.
Oh, God.
$20 a month.
Oh, God.
That seems to be the new thing.
The porn world is going to be livid with him.
But yeah, but come on.
If they were mad at the other girl,
it
doesn't have to be porn.
Why else would he do it? Why would you pay for it?
It's basically like, $20 a month. Why not just do cameos?
That's really, I'll tell you why that's interesting. Because not too long ago, I read that Chris Brown was hurting for money. Mm-hmm. And the response from Chris Brown and Chris Brown's people was, oh, ha, 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 ha. It was like the preacher.
Kenneth like, Goldman.
Party, ha, 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 ha. Oh, that's funny. Ha, 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 ha,
ha.
And I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, Chris Brown, that guy. And the story went on to say that due to the fact that you can't do concerts now and due to the fact that publishing money is not there anymore.
Yeah.
And the fact that he spends a shit ton of money, that they had it on pretty good authority that he was not keeping up with some of his commitments. So that could well be the case. I bet he'll make a ton on OnlyFans, not because I want to see his dick, but because he's got a lot of female fans. I don't know why, but he does.
The other music piece of tabloid news is Sinead O'Connor's entering rehab.
For what?
Trauma and addiction. She's going into trauma rehab.
There's a trauma rehab.
Yeah.
Well, Britney Spears went to trauma rehab when her father got stage 3 cancer.
She is postponing. Yeah, that's right.
It's all about her.
She's postponing her 2021 shows so that I may go into a 1-year trauma and addiction treatment program because I've had a very traumatic 6 years, and this year was the end of it, but recovery starts now. What?
Okay.
And her addiction was to weed.
What a pile of bullshit. Now, is somebody paying for this for her? Did she ask her fans to buy it?
She doesn't have money, does she?
No, I don't think she does. She was staying in that cheap-ass hotel in New Jersey. Remember
begging
that?
Begging for groceries?
It was so weird.
I had Twitter open. I saw this tweet from Zach Zenner.
All right.
With the recent Bleacher Report article highlighting more of the negative, I wanted to share some additional positive thoughts on Coach Patricia.
Oh, fuck.
And then he goes out, so he's totally backtracking. But the reason I thought it was interesting is the first comment underneath was from Tom Mazzaway. That's nice, but he still stinks, and so does Quinn. You give it to him, Tommy.
That's hilarious.
Give it to him.
Why would Maz jump in there?
So, okay, here's...
So Patricia and Quinn are on his hate list.
Yes.
Boy, that hate list is getting pretty long. Growing,
yeah, ever since he met us, it's really multiple.
It really
has. It's growing exponentially.
So you want to play the clip?
Yeah, this is How To with John Wilson. You can see it over there. This is episode 4, How To Cover Your Furniture. And it starts off, these cats destroying his furniture. And then he runs into a guy who's all about foreskin and wants foreskin. He doesn't want people to circumcise.
The guy I know.
But maybe there was still hope. The anti-circumcision guy had told me about his friend that made a product designed to restore your foreskin.
The TLC Tuggers.
So I decided to pay the guy a visit and see what it was all about.
So this is our home. My family lives here. I raised my daughters here.
Okay, so he's got daughters. He's also wearing a shirt that says, circumcised? ? You have no idea what you're missing.
God, his daughters must love that shirt, especially when their friends are over.
You have no idea what you're missing.
I really hope his daughter's friends don't have HBO.
And in the basement of this home is the TLC Tugger production facility.
He's going down to the TLC Tugger production facility.
What a space. Not only did he make every foreskin restoration device by hand, but he was also a musician and wrote an entire album about circumcision.
Sweet.
You talked Bill Gates out of a few hard-earned simoleons to do a so-called study where you cut some Africans
But it's still clear that condoms are the best form of prevention. Now that you've failed, who will heal those angry men? I'm gonna tug and grow my foreskin back again. I'm gonna tug and grow my foreskin back again. So I'm presently wearing
what?
A retaining comb.
What the fuck? Okay.
He's pulled out his dick.
Let's see your penis.
And he's got a cone on his penis.
Enough skin so that you look
his
like
his dick looks ridiculous.
It looks.
How do you create the tension?
So to create tension, you need to tug, and for that, you need a tugging device like this.
Wait.
Okay.
He isn't circumcised, is he?
No,
is
that the work of the tuggers? That's why he's made TLC tuggers. He wants to restore his foreskin. And I got to tell
you, he is circumcised.
Yeah.
What? That's a circumcised penis.
Well, Drew, it's a restored foreskin on his circumcised penis.
That looks like the most uncircumcised penis possibly ever.
Yeah, because he's see, you're giving a testimonial for the TLC tugger. It worked. He got his foreskin back.
Oh my god.
All I want to say is, I feel
gross.
Like, I feel like all the work it takes to get your foreskin back might not be worth it. Listen to what you have to do here.
TLC tugger. I place it against the head of my penis.
Oh, he loved pulling the head out, by the way.
Up onto the conical surface. So this will clip to my device, and then the weight will dangle in my pants.
Gross.
He's putting this nose.
Oh, my God.
Clip that same strip.
His underwear, they look like novelty underwear because it's just, it looks like a sock on a jock strap because he's got to put the weight all the way in.
It's like a jock for a 20-inch dick. It's actually a weight hanging.
Clip the weight on, put his pants
back. He's bringing the jock strap back, though. I like that.
The weight is hanging down where gravity can still act upon it instead of resting in the thigh area of my pants.
Oh, good. Cool.
So this weight is going to keep working on me all day because it's hanging freely because of that string.
Man, talk about circumcised.
Anybody else in the house need a grapefruit-flavored seltzer?
What a good host. He's making grapefruit-flavored seltzer.
Grapefruit-flavored seltzer? Is everything a little...
There's his
complicated
daughter,
with him.
There's his daughter, by the way, who's sitting in the TV room, not interested in this
that
interview.
That sounds delicious.
At all.
I just pray she doesn't turn around and see that stupid shirt.
I think she's really embarrassed, to tell you the truth.
Ha,
that's
happy.
My dad.
So,
oh, God.
Pulley,
he's lying in bed with his dick.
Any old
wait.
Way while I'm
what?
Sleeping, doing things involuntarily.
Gross.
And the tension stays the same.
He's got the,
with a
all right, describe,
he's got the penis tied up to a pulley, which pulls on it whenever he moves during the night. It pulls the skin over the head. Gross!
But he's God! He's lying there. He's got white tube socks on, pulled up to his calves.
His circumcision t-shirt.
But no pants, no undies. Doing
what
an interview.
What show is this, Mark?
It's called How To with John Wilson. This is episode 4.
I'm so pissed at this guy.
If you curl up... The tension, the slack, the strap goes completely slack.
Does this ever bother your wife, this
no, not at all.
Cord in bed?
Every once in a while, I will do something with my pulley and lose the grip on it and make a loud noise when she's asleep. And she doesn't like that.
See anything good lately?
Lately, I just saw that...
he's still lying in bed.
His dick is just lying
oh my
there.
Gosh, I'm so old. Words escape me. It's called Parasite.
Oh, yeah. I liked Parasite.
Oh, Parasite. Rot.
His dick wants
yeah,
no
that
part
was
of this.
a really great...
Okay, your dick's not attached to the bed anymore. Can you get
tale,
up and put some clothes on?
It had vice.
Just put a towel over it, please.
Don't get me started.
Why is he having a conversation where he's bottomless?
Because he's trying out the product.
But it wasn't attached to the bed anymore. It wasn't tugging. It wasn't actively tugging. Oh, my God. That was too weird.
Is that not the most ridiculous thing? Do you want to see the anti-circumcision guy? It's a real short clip.
It was good TV, I guess.
Oh, well, yeah. If you want to see that guy.
Who's the anti-circ guy?
That guy, it's his, one of his friends.
Is this someone we've talked to? Because we've talked to a few.
No, it's not Norm Cohen.
Yeah, I guess. What's he have to say?
Isn't he the guy from No Circ around here?
I got so mad at us. We've been hung up on by those people twice.
I wanted to see if there was anything in the pet store that I hadn't thought of. But as I walked to the Petco in Union Square, I saw a mobile billboard that seemed to be spreading an anti-circumcision message. And they even had a disturbing replica of a baby as
That's
a
nice.
Prop.
Nice having that on the
this
street.
This clamp, what it does is it entraps the foreskin in between two pieces of metal.
Yeah.
And when the doctor applies the screw and the thumb wheel,
yeah.
It exerts over 2 tons of force on the foreskin. Because the purpose of that is to crush it. and they want the blood to coagulate under the skin.
Okay.
When this happens to a baby, they're screaming the whole time. They're screaming for their life.
How many circumcisions has this guy seen?
I had never met a more passionate advocate for keeping covers on.
Sure. He was foreskin so sure for the win.
We needed this kind of protection.
Covers.
What I like to talk about is what are the benefits of foreskin? And that is, you know, foreskin offers what we call the four powers: pleasure, protection, lubrication, and connection. You know, there's an old motto: hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, yeah, we're, those of us who are circumcised are pretty happy with things.
For a reason. And women have foreskin.
Stop acting
too.
Like you know what it's like.
Maybe some coverings are nature's gift, and it's a mistake to remove them. But there's a lot of stuff we
Circumcision magazine.
So thank you.
This guy on it with this sour look going, I did not consent.
Big thank you to
Chris. Yeah, you are 6 days old. How could you?
Listener Chris for sending it to us this way.
Oh, my God.
It's so weird.
All right, you and Brandon can talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Brandon, are you bummed that you didn't get to see that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. I had to pot you down because it was on the same channel.
Oh, thanks.
Were you bummed that you didn't get to see it, or were you quickly pulling it up?
No, I'm fine with just being able to hear the audio and letting you guys
see the
tugging.
Don't act like you're not going to go check it out after the show.
No, but I will say that based on that emailer's great description, I was interested in seeing what he was so excited about. But
oh my God, I could not stop laughing the first time I saw it. What a weird. We got to get that guy on, man. You know, he could be the next, what was that guy's name? Tom Labute. We got to get Tom Labute on. We got to find a reason to get him on again.
I don't know. A lot of people want to hear Tom again just to hear Tom. And I think it'd be a good idea that way we can have him. I don't know. There's still a lot of mystery about him. Like,
who is
where
he
grew up, yeah. What are his other hobbies and stuff.
I don't have a freaking computer.
Since we're on the full frontal penis beat, I guess, you sent the story about Shia LaBeouf going full frontal in a movie?
Yeah, he's got a new flick out, and we're going to see his dong.
Did you read the story, though, about the movie?
Yeah, I read quite a bit of it. It didn't seem like a movie that Shia LaBeouf is really the main character of. Instead, it kind of focuses on another chick, correct?
But it sounds like his kind of artsy-fartsy movie, because the first 20 minutes are all about this home birth.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's like graphic and disturbing to watch.
It sounds awful. It's called Pieces of a Woman, and it's, you know, by a Hungarian director. So what I guess what he expects. That's another one I don't think anybody here will be seeing.
But like you said, you know, people who like to go to Mr. Man will.
No, they won't
enjoy it. I guess because they're gonna see Shia LaBeouf's.
I don't know. Is that a thing? Do people really want to see that? He looks like he smells too. By the way.
I think Shia LaBeouf looks like, I don't know. Obviously, he's had some issues, but he seems like a cool dude.
Here's my favorite story of the day. I was so excited to read this story. This story is unbelievable. I had no idea this happened. I wish Plain Man was still with us, because I wonder if he knew about this. But did you ever hear the story of the British Airways pilot who was sucked out of the cockpit at 23,000 feet 30 years ago?
Mark, I saw a picture of it, and I was...
A picture?
Yes, there was a picture that comes with it, and I was baffled.
Wait, you're not talking about the recreation picture, are you?
I didn't know if it was blood on the side of the plane or vomit, but there's a photo that comes along with it, and it seems like a pretty fascinating story.
Wait, pull that photo up, because the one photo I saw in the story, this is from The Sun in the UK. It says, a reconstruction showed the pilot who was thrown against the roof of the cockpit. And basically, it's the worst Photoshop of an airplane with a guy sticking out of the window. But here's the story. So 27 minutes into this flight, the plane was, you know, hitting its cruising altitude. And then all of a sudden, 2 of 6 cockpit windows shattered. Just right. Blew up and shattered. Captain Tim Lancaster was ripped from his seat. And sucked out of the window. They're at 23,000 feet. Oh, that is a real photo.
Yes, and gross. Look at this stuff. What is that? Is that urine? Is it blood? Is it
feces?
You don't know. There is a mystery substance on the side of the plane, and I guarantee you that it came from the pilot, because as we learn in this story, the heroic co-pilot pretty much just hung on
don't
to
spoil
the guys.
It.
Oh, okay.
It's a team effort, my man.
Okay.
So the force also blew the cockpit door from its hinges. You know, it's pre-9/11, then doors were all
cock.
Loose. So it the door gets ripped off, pretty much almost knocked over a flight attendant who was standing there, Nigel Ogden. So Nigel then runs into the cockpit and managed to grab the pilot's legs as he was disappearing out of the window.
Right.
So full, you know. Airplane! Belt up, this pilot is outside of the plane. Nigel says, I whipped around and saw the front windscreen had disappeared, and Tim, the pilot, was going through it. He had been sucked out of his seatbelt, and all I could see were his legs. I jumped over the control column, grabbed him around the waist to avoid him going out completely. His shirt had been pulled off his back, and his body was bent upwards, doubled over the round of the top of the aircraft.
Right, right. And so at this point is where I imagine that mystery substance is getting all over.
Is leaving his body.
My big question is,
what's the co-pilot doing? Why didn't he grab him?
Well, he's probably flying while the pilot is, you know, a little preoccupied. But you see,
I don't think so.
The pilot's head is out the window, right? And this isn't an airplane, and it's very, very, very high up in the air. Have you ever tried just sticking your head out the window while you're driving? It's
it's impossible
to breathe.
No, it's impossible. And this guy in the recreation picture, its knees up are outside of the window. So I don't know what the co-pilot was doing, but Nigel goes on to say, okay, so his shirt had been pulled off his back. His body was bent upwards around the top of the aircraft. His legs were jammed forward, disconnecting the autopilot, and the flight door was resting on the controls, sending the plane hurtling down at nearly 650 kilometers an hour through some of the most congested skies in the world. So now the plane is just diving down while the pilot is being held onto by his feet. He was gradually slipping out of the window as he held onto the pilot, but thankfully a second crew member called John came running into the cockpit and grabbed him by the belt. I was still holding Tim, but my arms are getting weaker, and then he slipped. I thought I was going to lose him, but he ended up bent in a U-shape around the window because, you know, the wind, what was it called, with the aerodynamics of it, just had him pinned to the top of it while his legs were bent. His face was banging against the window with blood coming out of his nose and the side of his head. His arms were flailing. By the way, the pilot lived. So, spoiler alert.
So there's no more that's no longer a mystery substance. Now we know that it is.
He had blood coming out of his whatever. His nose, the side of his head, his arms were flailing. He seemed like he was 6 meters long. Most terrifying, his eyes were wide open. I'll never forget that sight as long as I live. So they could see
his
head.
There's audio from it.
When the co-pilot, Alistair Acheson, took over controls, which once again, he could have grabbed the guy, a second flight attendant named Simon got into the third pilot's chair and helped hold on to the
most British names ever.
Alistair, Simon, yeah.
Nigel.
So they created this chain just to hold the pilot to keep him from totally getting sucked out of the airplane. All I can remember is looking at Alistair, the co-pilot, struggling to get the plane under control and shouting, Mayday, Mayday, into the window or into the radio while he's sticking out of the window. God knows how, but while all this was going on, Alistair managed to get the plane under control. So now it's not nosediving. I let John take over the cabin. Thanks. That's really nice of you to let John take over the cabin because once again, they're, you know, the flight crew. I ran back to look after the passengers who had just heard the bang. My poor colleague, Sue Prince, had been looking after the plane all on her own. Incredibly, the pilot suffered several fractures and frostbite, but he survived. The plane landed. Everybody was fine except for the pilot. Isn't that crazy, though? Let's see. Is there anything else? Oh,
you wouldn't think that somebody would survive that, no.
No, you want to know why the windshield came out?
Why?
They used the wrong bolts when they put it in.
Why are we finding out about this?
That's what I said. I never knew about it.
1990, you know, plane incident right now.
27 hours before the plane took off, they had replaced what they call the windscreen, the windshield, and they just used the wrong bolts, which is probably something I would do. Just like, hey, if it fits, it'll be fine. And that's all it took, just a mechanical error. Nothing with the way the plane was built or anything hitting it. Just some dope using the wrong bolt and almost killed this guy. But thanks to the quick thinking of Nigel Ogden, they saved his life. I just thought this was the wildest story.
No, well, I agree with you. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're pretty far in. I think we can wrap up, right? If he doesn't come down here quicker.
I don't know. I don't have a lot today because I've been so busy keeping people warm in my neighborhood.
You're fine. Are you mad that we were so mean to you?
You guys are freaking bullies. I will say that.
Still, some of us still think you could have made it yesterday. I'm just saying. Drew, what? You missed the most incredible story while you were gone.
Easy for you
what
guys.
Was the story?
I can't. You'll just gonna have to listen to the podcast. You have to listen back. It's about a pilot who got sucked out of his plane at 30,000 feet.
Got sucked that out of may his have plane? Sounded bad. You're not going to podcast that, are you?
Was the plane about to hit the ground?
No.
That's the only way he would survive.
They were cruising. I'll let you know why the windshield disappeared. It was because some dope used the wrong bolts when they put it on.
Well, that sounds like a
fucking crazy story.
Interesting
though.
Story, although it certainly sucks. Oh, boy. So.
Brandon and I were just wrapping up because we are at 3 hours.
Oh, are we at 3 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how that happened.
Because you spent two of it ripping on me.
Let me check the Twitter
according to the Twitter poll.
Man.
The numbers are starting to switch, though, unfortunately.
Hell yeah, they are. Especially when they hear that, they're going to completely switch.
You
should have made this a 2-day poll.
Wait till people hear the show and they start jumping on there.
Then that would go back the other way.
What's it at?
I'm looking for, okay. 75.6%.
That's still pretty, it's pretty close to what it was. 81 was its highest, I believe.
JRF says it's Justin. His breathing too hard, shortness of breath was just him feigning being way too busy to even consider coming
into
work.
That's how it came across.
Forensic accountant to verify how much time he spent watching football in Marcus's car.
No.
We should have asked Marcus.
One play in Marcus's car.
Huh?
I only saw one play in Marcus's car.
The problem with Marcus now is that Brandon's texting Marcus while the conversation's going on, so you can't get a good read out of Marcus.
That's not true. Trust me. Marcus would not be able to navigate talking on the phone.
Marcus's
and text
tone changed dramatically during the conversation.
Marcus isn't, he's not like this tech-savvy dude, you know?
What are the odds he watched one play, and it just happened to be the most amazing play of the day yesterday?
It
was not live. I watched it, like whatever he was watching, it was like, and now we go to blah, 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 where Kyler Murray did this incredible run. That's the only thing I saw when I was trying to charge my phone. And it just so happened that his car would not allow me to charge my phone. I had it charged in there for maybe 25 minutes, and I only gained 2% battery. These were difficult times. You guys sitting in your plush, warm homes, not knowing what the other 300,000 Southeast Michiganders are going through during this DTE.
Well, because we're at work.
And we certainly have never had our power go out.
It sounds like in your area that you have to fix the problem yourself. That's how hard it sounds. I didn't realize that they made you fix it for DTE.
You know, the tough thing is there's so many people in my subdivision that have just gotten sick and tired of this shit, and then now they have Generac. And I tell you, I stand out in my driveway and I just look at like my neighbors who are enjoying the warmth, and I get these bad thoughts about them. It's like I shouldn't.
Do you lose power as often as we do?
So when I first moved in, everybody told me, all my neighbors, like, you got to get a generator. First thing you got to do is get a generator. First thing you got
to
do.
That's always nice to hear. Did they tell you that before you bought the house?
No, they did not. But as soon as I bought it, all the neighbors said, we lose it 4 or 5 times a year. And normally, you know, in that first year, we lost it like right away for like 6 days, right in February, which was cold, which was what Marcus was alluding to when he said that he had helped me out. And over time, they have seemed to fix some of the equipment. But this one was kind of unavoidable. The wind was so, strong. It was taking out all those wires and stuff. So I understand these things happen. I get it. But I just wish it was fixed quick.
What a victim.
Well, I just want to mention a few things today. I did feel a little bit like Mike Valenti when I started out, that like I'm just so sick of so many things right now. Because they don't change, like the Lions and Michigan football. I mean, he was really upset about the sports stuff, but he was upset about other stuff too. And then I'm listening to this story about, not on 97.1, about all the coronavirus stuff. Michigan, 3 weeks. Oregon, 2 weeks. Oregon, by the way.
Oh, you mean shutdowns? Yeah,
yeah, shutdowns.
Iowa just shut down today too.
How long was Iowa shut down for? How bad is it in Iowa, by the way? Is it bad?
No, I have no idea. It was trending.
Well, in Michigan, first of all, Duggan has a press conference at noon where he says that people in Detroit are angry that Detroit is shutting down, which I understand. I think a lot of people are angry.
Yeah.
I went to pick up food last night, not at Mesa. I do have to check out the competition sometimes. And the one of the managers came over and started talking to me. It was somebody who listens to the show a lot, and I guess they are a manager at this restaurant. So they came and started talking to me, and I said, "Oh boy, sorry about the shutdown." And they said, "Yeah, we're not open. I guess they're not open tomorrow, and they're not open on Monday. So it's like, yeah, we're shutting down after tonight." And I noticed that as he was talking, he was just very upset. And I was like, "Well, is this a possible? You know, is the business really struggling? Oh yeah, it's really tough. We don't know if this is going to come back after the shutdown." Because it was one of those things where the previous circumstance, they did carry out and they did okay, but it was kind of like hanging on by a string. And then, you know, things come back. And when the weather was warm, I think they did okay. And then now it's really getting tough. And with all the constant talk about COVID, it's not helpful for business.
Yeah.
It's never really super busy when I'm in there. I mean, I would never be afraid to eat there, put it that way, because there just aren't many people there. So anyway, in light of that conversation, I'm watching Duggan, who is saying that Detroit should not have to shut down. He supports the shutdown because the virus doesn't discriminate between Detroit and Oakland County and Wayne County and Macomb County. But Detroit restaurants and the casinos are really pissed off because they're saying, "Hey, we're doing a good job. Our rate is the lowest." Now, their rate is up. It's up a bunch. But he said that, you know, "Hey, I've been in Detroit," and this is Mike Duggan, "and everybody's wearing a mask. And then I go to Oakland County and I see all these people not wearing masks." I'm like, "What? Where is he going?
Where, yeah.
What is he talking about? I don't know people. Honest to God, because I get around. I don't do a lot of stuff because you're not supposed to, and there's not that much to do anyway. I don't ever see people not wearing masks.
No.
I do not. I know it happens because you see it on TV or whatever, but
I mean, not,
I thought that was a bullshit thing to say.
Well, you live in northern Oakland County, Brandon. Do you see people wearing masks up and about?
I very rarely see somebody without one. Yeah. It's to the point where when you do, everybody does a double take, and everybody is staring at that one person. In fact, I went to Speedway to just refill, you know, a bunch of gas cans, and there was a girl who walked in there, and one of the customers immediately pointed at his face to indicate a mask, and she, oh, you're sorry. So, you even have people that are reminding others, "Hey, wear your mask."
Well, what he's talking about.
Well, anyway, that was annoying. I just watched it. It was irritating. And then this story comes out about how Nancy Pelosi had a dinner for the freshman Congress people, I guess, or the congresswomen, and they canceled it because it got out that she was having a dinner for a lot of people. And then in the same story, they revealed that
Nancy Pelosi with her hairdryer.
Gavin Newsom was apologizing because he went to a dinner party. Well, Gavin Newsom has been saying, you know, you got to put your mask on between bites at your Thanksgiving dinner. And I mean, he's talking about these really intense restrictions for California. And he's at a fucking party. What the hell is that? Lori Lightfoot also apologized because she went to a Biden victory party that apparently was a rather large party. So, you know, what the fuck? And then this is the thing that makes me the maddest. Through all this talk about, we got to shut this down, we got to shut that down, here's the and you know, all these businesses that are hurting, and, you know, and we can't do a transition yet, and, you know, blah, 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 and Trump won't concede, and on and on and on. I'm like, do you mean to tell me through all this yelling and screaming and the MAGA Million March and all this that you can't just get a few people together to come up with a stimulus plan? Because people are really hurting. Small businesses are really hurting, and a lot of them will go out of business. And for all the carping and all the, you know, calling people names and whatnot, why can't they fucking come up with a stimulus? It's bullshit. And today the story was,
I want to.
They don't want to, and that Pelosi doesn't want to until January because Biden will be the president. She doesn't want Trump to get credit for it. Well, Trump's already lost. Well, okay, I shouldn't have said that because somebody will bitch about it. It appears that Trump is not the president-elect. I'll just say that.
Wrong.
So why would you wait anyway? Why have we waited? It's been over 4 months or 3 months, I think. It's been over 3 months.
The $300 federal unemployment's already over, too.
That lasted 2 weeks because it was just from it was a finite amount.
Yeah, it's done.
So what the fuck? I mean, honestly.
Whitmer today said the state isn't going to be able to do much unless there's new money. She was on a call with other Midwest governors, and she said our resources are strapped. That's why the stimulus is very important. Unemployment insurance is available, but it's very limited compared to what they had. So she knows that the state's running out. Other states know that it's going to run out, too.
Well, I'm sick of these people running for office and telling us how much they care about us, how much they're going to do for us. And they don't do a fucking thing when we really need it. Everyone knows we need it. They even say we need it. But they can't get together and compromise and just say, boom, got a deal. I mean, really, Drew, really, it's so fucking pathetic.
And it's the easiest thing to come together and agree
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And
don't know
they
why.
May not agree on who the president is, who the president should be, whether the election is rigged, not rigged. None of that matters when it comes to this. This is about us.
I'm sure.
And you're supposed to care about us a little bit.
I'm sure it's the other side's fault.
Oh, yeah. No, they are. Absolutely. In fact,
no matter who you ask.
The story I heard was on Fox, well, actually, it's not Fox Radio, it's Fox TV on satellite, so it was Fox TV, essentially, and they were saying, they were explaining, you know, what the right says, what the left says, what Pelosi says, what Trump wants, allegedly, and it was all a big clusterfuck of, yeah, somebody wants more than the other, Trump wants more than the Republicans, and they just can't sort it out. It's just too hard. Really?
I don't get it. I don't
I'm
get
so
it. And there's a...
irritated about it.
There's a new study, a Gallup study, that said, hey, if you got these $1,200 stimulus checks, what would you do with it?
Yeah.
And, of course, people are going to spend it. And they said without it.
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
Right, see, that's good for the economy.
All right, good.
Well, consumer confidence is a big fucking thing that is really hard to quantify in a lot of different ways. But so without the stimulus, 37%. Are going to spend less money during the holidays, and only 16% said they're going to spend more money, which what are these 16% of people? But with it, the numbers just skyrocket.
What angers me the most is that at some point, they're going to do this. I mean, don't you think they'll do it eventually?
Yeah, but not until after January 20th.
Right. Okay. Well, but whether it's next week, in 2 weeks, after Thanksgiving, January 20th, whatever it is, when they do it, they will act like, hey, look what we did. Aren't we great?
Yeah, and I guarantee
you. Fuck you.
Whatever they decide on is going to be too little, too late for a lot of people.
Exactly. And I just, you know, I, honestly, when it happens, this is what I wish they would do. I wish they would say, I'm so embarrassed to announce this because this should have happened months and months ago. And this is the biggest, this is the most horrible crisis that we have had affecting more people financially, and we fucked around for month after. But I know they won't.
Well,
they'll
one,
say, hey, look at what we did. Are we great? We love you guys. We care about you. That's why you voted for us.
Don't be so cynical. There's one person that might say that. I could see Biden saying that. Like, hey, we got this done. It should have been done back when I wasn't even part of this.
Oh, well, maybe if he can blame Trump for it. Yeah, he might do that. He had a press conference today, by the way. Biden did.
Did he say anything? No, I saw him up on the TV. He didn't care to watch.
Yeah, he called for another stimulus because of the dark winter.
Well, he's right. He's right, though.
There should be a stimulus. No,
it should be. There should have been one 3 months ago.
I can't believe more people aren't talking about it. I mean, honestly, you know, great. 308 electoral votes to 232, whatever it is. You know, we've known approximately what's going to be. For. What about the stimulus? What about something that matters to the people? I mean, the amount of votes, that's important, the protests and all that in the MAGA march, it's all important. But how about helping people that need help?
It's not what it's about for them.
No, exactly. So it's like, well, then what's the fucking point? Why do people get so worked up over it when they don't fucking care about us?
I know. This is something that affects every single constituent that they have in Washington, and they just don't give a fuck.
It's so disconcerting that so many people care and fight so hard over these people, over these candidates, over Trump, over Biden, over the Republicans, over the Democrats. Look at how angry and upset people get defending and fighting
this
for these people.
It's political bullshit.
And they don't give a shit about doing something that they could do for us that would help. It's just, oh, God.
You would think they could just pass like, say, just blanket stimulus checks. Nothing else in the bill. Just, hey, we're going to send 1,200.
I know, it's so easy.
That's it. Nothing else. Nobody add anything else. We'll just do this, and we'll do the low amount, and then revisit it after January 20th.
And did you see Obama in 60 Minutes?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think?
You know, he's bland.
You know, he was kind of bland.
Nothing terribly upsetting, nothing terribly earth-shattering. It's, in a way... I know people hate him. I think he's a good guy, man.
I think most people, I think he's more liked than hated, for sure.
Obamacare is a disaster.
But it's interesting him talking about the reverence he had for the office. I know that bores people, but
it bores me.
I know.
First of all, I just don't believe, if I look at the last few presidents and a lot, some of the things they've done, it makes it hard for me to accept that it's such a revered place.
Well, just the weight of it. I don't know.
Yeah, the weight of it, I can't even begin to imagine. But let's see. I did make a few notes. I called out. Well, he talked about, first of all, I feel like he's painting Michelle in a very bad way lately.
Sure.
Between the book and what he said last night that, you know, would you possibly be in the cabinet? Which, I mean, that would be no big deal for him.
What, to be in the cabinet?
He's been president.
Why would he want to be in a
cabinet? No, I don't think he would. I thought it was a stupid question.
That's like when, that's dumb.
But wouldn't that be like a part-time job for Obama?
I mean, it's
anyway, a stupid question.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a stupid question.
Isn't it a much better gig making terrible shows on Netflix? Isn't that a better gig?
Yeah, probably is.
In his office, I think that sounds terrible. Put it on Netflix.
Anyway, you know, he just says that, you know, Michelle would kill him, which, you make her sound like an absolute beast.
maybe they're on the outs.
She didn't want him to run for president.
I know. I'm starting to wonder if they're on the outs because, yeah, that whole thing about running for president came up, and it sounded like she just thought he was the most selfish asshole to run for president. And then he says...
Sus just turned 18. I'm out of here.
I agree.
He says in his...
Child support.
He says in his book that it sounded like the thing that caused the most tension for him as being president was Michelle.
Yeah.
And how fucking miserable she was. And I would think her job would really be... And I'm not trying to be sexist about this. I don't want to be, but isn't whoever the president's spouse is, shouldn't they try to facilitate it and make them, give them a cozy, safe place?
I think that's a little bit more important than anything you got going on. It's like when he was talking about in the interview, he's like, I'm working on all this stuff, and then next you know, Sasha and Malia are arguing about this boy that said one stupid thing, and it really grounds you. I realize it gets you outside of your own head. It's like, yeah, that'd be really fucking weird. You're working on something about ISIS, and then you get teenage kids talking about something stupid a boy said. It's like, you want me to have him taken out?
I'll drone that kid.
I mean, he loves his drones.
Well, there was a story today about Obama on 60 Minutes, and it was, you know, just the same old commentary. And then in within the article, they had another thing you could click on. It was Michelle Obama, who was saying that she was so angry about Trump's racist lies about her husband, and that her family was put in danger by Trump's racist lies. But in spite of all the horrors of that, she, being the larger person, always reached out to Melania Trump for the sake of the country.
Oh, come on, First Lady.
Really, Michelle? Does she love the country that much? Because sometimes it doesn't sound like it. But I just thought
First off, I think they're putting too much into the weight of the office of the First Lady.
Isn't that a little too much virtue signaling sometimes?
Probably. Yeah.
And I don't know. I've just found myself, and the Obamas... I separate them because I generally like Barack Obama. I think he's a good guy. I just feel that way. It's just a feeling. I'm not saying his policies are all great, so don't come and yell at me. But
I think it's easy for him to be that calm, stoic guy because she's kind of the attack person in the relationship.
Well, it's not really what the First Lady's job is. What, to attack him?
I just mean they're in their relationship. No, to attack like other people like Trump and one. Although he kind of, you know, he did go out on the campaign.
Oh, he was a great campaigner the last few years. Very unusual. The very end, though. I mean, I was really wondering if he wanted Biden to be president.
Some of his campaign for Biden speeches really bordered on bad stand-up. I don't know if you saw a lot.
Yeah, there were some. Now, when he sunk the three pointer in Flint, that was fucking cool.
That was fucking cool.
but Michelle
still and boom goes the dynamite.
Still can't dunk.
I'm like, what? This business that she, you know, I'm a really accomplished person, and he gets all the attention. He's the president. I mean, she doesn't realize how bad that sounds.
No,
it's like the last five times I've heard about her. I found them all really annoying and off-putting. And, you know, the one about the white people not seeing her.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's like, what? You can't. She gets so upset about stereotyping, generalizations, the same kind of thing. And then she says something like that. And it's like, come on, Michelle, really? You really think that we see through you? And I say we because you say you. It's like, what the fuck? And she acts so put out, too, like, you know, oh my God, I went to Harvard and people just ignore me in the White House and they write about, I mentioned that he quit smoking and they ignore all my obesity work. And well, why do you keep talking about him smoking? Why don't you get off his ass?
Well, how about the fact that
he does make her sound like a bitch, though, I have to say, when he says stuff like that, you know.
How about the
that was about my ego and, you know.
How about the fact that the people working in the White House might be working? And maybe they don't want to, you know, maybe they don't want to have to sit and chat or kind of capitulate to whatever feelings might be because they're doing a job.
I know. I just.
I can't
wait. I don't understand. I really don't understand presidential books. I don't understand why people read them because they never tell you anything. But his book sounds like
sounds
it might
interesting.
Be some. There might be some things in there. Of course, I thought the same thing about Clinton's, and I just got, oh, my God, was that boring.
I really feel like it sounds interesting until I remind myself that it's like 730 pages. It's like, no, thanks.
Yeah,
I'll let the media pull out good excerpts, and I'll read those.
Yeah, they will.
But going back to the whole first lady and even second lady thing, I can't wait till Doug, what's his name?
Emhoff.
Emhoff. No one's paying attention when everyone tells him to shut the fuck up because you're a guy.
Second dude.
I really wish. I want her to be president just not for the sake that I want to see how mad everyone gets at Doug Emhoff when he does something as first man. Because nobody pays attention to second lady.
I honestly don't pay attention
to him, but boy, if he became the first man. And does
you know, that's gonna be really weird.
No one's gonna give a shit.
I think he's gonna just shut the fuck up. I really do.
He's gonna have an initiative.
Nobody even knows his name right now.
He's gonna have an initiative though, right?
I guess he does. By the way, if
Montel gonna step by the White House.
If at the end of Joe Biden's term he says, you know what, or 3 years in, he says, you know what, I'm 81 years old, I'm just gonna like Kamala carry there. Kamala. No, he'll say Kamala. I'm going to let Kamala take the baton and go forward. Do you think, all things being equal, that she would win?
Kamala. I don't know.
Oh, would she win the election?
Yeah.
No.
I'm not sure she would either.
I don't know. It all depends on where we're at that point.
Of course it does.
Well, all things being equal.
I
really don't think Joe Biden's going to run for re-election. I just don't see it being, you know, we've seen what being president does physically to these individuals, you know, you always see the pictures of, you know, 4 years and 8 years in, it really taxes them. And
I don't have time for this.
I know Biden's been VP, but if he's put in this situation, he might age. He'll be 98 by the time he's supposed to run for re-election.
Sure. All things being equal, there's no way she didn't get very far in the primary this time.
No, she didn't.
She's not nearly the centrist that he is.
I'm not sure that. No, she's not. I'm not sure that. It sounded to me, and I've just been reading this really since the election, that he really hated being vice president, that he hated not being number one, and that he really loves the. I mean, Trump would be president forever if he could. Some people really love it. I don't understand it at all, but some people really want to be the guy.
That's right.
I don't get it.
And I think Biden loves the fact that he won the election and he's finally the guy. He tried to run, you know, what, three times before? I mean, had serious runs. Yeah. So
I'm really looking forward to finishing Showtime dropped a new documentary on Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
And it's not about just Ronald. It's about the Reagans, him and Nancy. The first like half hour they basically are like shitting all over him, basically saying that he's the shell of an idea of what an American should be, and that Nancy was in charge.
She was most definitely Teflon Ron. I mean, that was not a nickname that just got thrown out there.
But was Nancy that much in power?
She seemed pretty fucking bossy, I got to tell you. I don't know. I mean, I remember, for example, I believe it was Don Regan, when Don Regan went, I was like, oh, Nancy didn't like him.
Really?
Yes. And there were a number of things that happened during his administration, not the big, big, big things, but some pretty big things where it was like, well, yeah, Nancy doesn't like him.
Well, the narrative...
The war on drugs was pretty big.
The war on drugs was huge.
It's a total failure.
And everyone can repeat, though, what she said. That ain't now.
She had that great. She had that great appearance. It really touched me when she was on Different Strokes.
Stupid.
Because wait,
she was bossy. She was absolutely bossy.
Who started doing? Was it Dudley? Who started? No, Dudley didn't do drugs. I can't remember who started doing.
Somebody
drugs.
Started partying.
Todd Bridges. But they acted like Nancy was the head of the studio and Ronald was still just the actor. Really? Give the guy some credit.
Yeah, his movies were pretty bad. He was a sort of a high B guy, and he was the head of the Screen Actors Guild, so he was well liked. But if it's really good, I'll watch it. I just
this kid was it Ron Jr. or Michael? I don't know which.
Ron Jr., Michael, and Patty Davis, her daughter, who's a
nuts
bitch.
Already.
Ugh. She was in Playboy, wasn't she?
Come on, Patty!
Patty Davis? I think she was, the daughter. Nice. She was cute. She was pretty hot. But, you know, she made a big deal about how, I'm not voting for my dad because I'm worried about the Dolphins. And
God.
I think the Dolphins are safe and it's possible.
I don't have time for this.
I mean, I don't remember what it was. It was something very obtuse.
Did Ron reply with?
If you don't love it, leave it. USA, number one.
I hope he did. Anyway, hit the outro and we'll...
Oh, I didn't start there. There we go.
That may have sounded bad. You're not going to podcast that, are you?
We'll be back with some version of this show tomorrow. There was another... did you happen to see the reel of... What was that? They had a collection of the violent events from the Million MAGA March.
I saw what Inside Edition had out there today.
There was some pretty major sucker punching and, I mean, stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of people when I was on Fox in a car, a lot of people complaining about the coverage of it, and I wasn't sure what the complaints were. Were the complaints that the media didn't cover it?
The congressman bitching that the media did not cover it, but we talked about it yesterday that we saw some.
I did see some. It wasn't covered. I mean, there were really... There were Washington marches that were much more covered, certainly, but and Trump drove by, so it seems like it was newsworthy. And there wasn't any, I don't believe there's any destruction. I mean, there wasn't nothing set on fire, no vandalism that I'm aware of. But there was some definite confrontations with counter-protesters sucker punches and some real bullshit.
Un-American.
And I think that was part of the complaints that was... being caused by the outsiders and therefore
shouldn't have discussed
or something, I guess. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, which is anytime.
Late at night.
MAGA.